Okay. Okay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Now, I don't know why, but there's just some things we all did as kids, and it's not like any of these things actually make sense, but we just did them. Like, did you even have a childhood if you never dug a hole to China?
Timmy, we're almost there.
Yay, just 2 more minutes. I mean, kids are just some dumbasses, bro. Like, who's gonna tell little Timmy he's not digging through the Earth's core with this little rinky-dink ass shovel? But to be completely honest, out of all these dumbasses, I was probably the stupidest kid known to man. Like, I remember when I was 5 and I was taking my annual shower, you know, and all of a sudden I had realized I was a fucking superhero. It was just the way the water was flowing out of my fingertips. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And I was fucking hyped. I mean, from this point on, my new name was Waterboy. Wow. I was pretty fucking stupid. But not everything I did as a kid was completely impractical. For example, I know you used to run up the stairs on all fours, bro. Like, this was just the most efficient way to get from point A to point B. I used to feel like a fucking cheetah going up those stairs. In fact, going up the stairs in this manner was so efficient, I asked myself, well, why don't people go down the stairs like this? And shit, I figured out why. Or bro, on a hot summer day, I would wait for my mom to whip out the fan. And as soon as she turned that bitch on, me and my brother would turn into the Migos. We were dropping hit after hit. Like, we were spending so much time talking into this fan, our mom was a little concerned.
Raindrop.
Drip.
Drop top.
Smoking no cookie in a hot box.
Cookie.
Fucking on your bitch here. Dot, dot, dot. Cooking up dope in a crock pot.
Pot.
Hey guys, you've been there for 6 hours. I think it's time.
Ma, let him cook.
Bad and boozy. Cooking up dope with the Uzi.
Hey!
And speaking of cooking, when Mama Chains would whip up some good old Kraft dinner, I had no choice but to put a piece of KD on each prong of the fork. Like, that shit just simply tasted better, bro. Or whenever I was walking on a sidewalk, I would strategically plan out each footstep to make sure I was not stepping on a crack. Now, the funny thing about this one is I still do that shit, and I know some of y'all are gonna think I'm weird for that, but riddle me this. Who's gonna be laughing when your mom's in the ER with a broken back, bitch? Now, I feel like at one point or another in your life, you just had to check if the fridge light stayed on when you close it. It's really just a part of growing up. Like, one day you'll go grab some milk for your Honey Nut Cheerios, and you'll be like, hey, wait a minute. Or what about when you were bored in the car and you start doing parkour with your fingers to the window? I used to hit some crazy combos and then I would go to finish it off with a backflip. Or have you ever fucked around in the living room and you broke a vase or some shit?
Whoops.
You know, you get a timeout or you receive a little whooping. Now, coming out fresh off that whooping, this shit could only go one of two ways. Either you ball your eyes out and play with this fucking thing for hours, or you would plan to run away, bro. That was it. That was your only options. And I had a few of those moments where I was ready to dip. I would pack an apple in my trusty Minecraft sword for the trials and tribulations to come. And then I would look my sweet mother in the eyes and realize, shit, she's making mac and cheese tonight. I can't leave yet. And you have simply not lived if you never hit a DS under your pillow at night. Like for me, the Mario grind was 24/7. There was no sleeping. But I'm not gonna lie, I had some close calls trying to pull that shit off.
Good night, Chains. Sweet dreams.
Good night, Ma. Love you.
Love you too.
Fuck. And goddamn, bro, in grade 1, we would be doing anything but schoolwork. Like, we'd be poking holes in our erasers, injecting heroin with mechanical pencils, drawing this shit, and breaking this shit off mechanical pencils. I'm not gonna lie, you still gotta keep me away from those things, because if I see them, I will break them. And yo, I'm not gonna forget you motherfuckers who used to put glue on your hands and let it dry so you could peel it off. Like bro, you're weird for that shit, I'm not gonna lie. But I did used to love crafting the biggest marker sword you could and have a duel. And I don't know why, but I always used to carry around this tiny ass pencil. Like I never actually used it, but I always had it. And I used to flex it too, thinking it was cool or something. Yo, shorty. Take a look at my pencil.
Oh my god, why is it so tiny?
Tiny? It's not that small. And bro, tell me as a kid that you never had the random urge to just do this shit. And you just stay there.
I don't know why. And I'm not gonna lie, I have to contribute my entire professional stickman career to drawing on the windows as a kid. Like, Mini Chains was whipping up some masterpieces. They were on some Picasso level shit, which is exactly why you see this high quality stickman content. Man, you could be the 47th president of the United States and you'd still get flamed in school. It's just inevitable. It could be your haircut, your clothes, and bro, even when there's nothing to roast, somebody's gonna try and spit out some bullshit anyways.
Hey, yo, why does Carl's face look like Spider-Man's left nut?
Yo, that's so true. Why do you know what his nuts look like?
And bro, when I was in middle school, all my clothes were hand-me-downs I got from my neighbor, and this motherfucker just didn't want to see me win, bro. Cause I was getting piles of V-neck shirts and jeans that didn't even fit. And not only did my neighbor have no drip, but dude was 10 years older than me, so every fit I made was just a decade too late. And pulling up to school and that shit had me feeling like a rotisserie chicken, the way I was getting cooked at a 360 degree angle, bruh. But my fit wasn't even the only thing that was outdated, cause my phone looked like the first phone ever created. And it acted like it too. I mean, I would have to click the screen 5 times and then send a prayer to the heavens just to turn that shit on. And only real G's know the pain of having to whip out an old ass phone around someone else. Like, I remember this one time a girl came up to me and asked if she could add me on Snapchat, and when I gave her my phone, my shit crashed, bro.
I think your phone just ran out of battery.
Oh no, don't worry, sometimes you just gotta... Yeah, here you go.
Actually, I have a boyfriend, so...
Wait, what the fuck? And ever since that day, that phone was my number one op, bro. So much so that the next time a girl came up and asked for my Snapchat, I started fucking malfunctioning, bro.
Hey, can I get your Snapchat?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No. It's just cause I don't have Snapchat.
Oh, well, what about your phone number?
I actually don't even have a phone.
You don't have a phone?
Oh, well, I did, but then my dog ate it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god, is your dog okay?
Sorry, I don't even have a dog. I don't have one.
Then, who ate your phone?
Oh, fucking, I did.
Wait, was that?
Nope. Like, I do appreciate all the hand-me-downs, cause without them, I would be walking through the school butt-booty naked, but to be honest with you, if it was a choice, I would've rather been butt-booty naked, cause these V-necks were straight girl repellent. Like, there's birth control, there's condoms, and then there's V-necks, bruh. But shit, I mean, you could still pull a lot while wearing a V-neck, but it's just like... It's just gonna be dudes! And just when you think I couldn't have been more roastable, my mom would be like, "Oh, sweetie, you need a haircut."
No, please, mom, no.
My mom used to take me to this shop that gave out $1 haircuts, bro, and these motherfuckers were straight speed running these cuts. They'd be asking what kind of cut you want while cutting your hair. And by the time you get to show them the cut you want, your shit is already done, bro. And my mom must have not been tipping them either, considering the fact that every time I went back, the cuts kept getting worse and worse. Until one time, I walked out there with my head bleeding, like I asked for a 2 on the sides, and she hit me with a -2. Now don't get me wrong, when I pulled up to school wearing the most abominable fit known to man with the atrocious haircut and shitter phone combo, I got my shit roasted, flamed, grilled, sauteed, deep fried, and then thrown into the goddamn microwave. Like, the type of flaming that has you going home and just taking an extensive look in the mirror, questioning if you should legally change your name to Albert and flee the country. But somehow, this motherfucker Carl got flamed even harder than me just for being Carl. Like, whenever a friend group is created, there's just one dude selected to be the punching bag for the entire group. And you know, I feel bad and shit, but like... It's better Carl than me, bro, so I'ma slip a few jabs in if I have to.
Yo, what the fuck is Carl eating, bro?
Oh, hell nah.
Wait, whoa, Chains is eating the exact same thing.
Nah, what? Your shit looks like it tastes like cardboard with honey mustard.
Wow, how did you know?
Like, Carl can't even get a little chuckle out without getting crucified, bruh. Damn, he's fucking that shit up.
Looks like he hasn't eaten in weeks, bro. Oh, hell nah, Carl. I know you're not laughing.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're built like SpongeBob Brown Pants. You look like a malnourished Santa Claus, bro. Like, god damn, that's a face only a mother can love. What did I do?
Now, getting roasted around your boys is tough, but that pales in comparison to the pain and embarrassment of getting roasted in front of your crush, bro.
Yo, Chains, what did you get on the science test?
I'm not gonna lie, I got like a 76.
I'm surprised you're not smarter with that big-ass head of yours.
Yeah, good one, Joe.
No, like, for real, your shit is massive.
Well, like, the sheer amount of brain you could fit in that bitch should make you Einstein. You look like you should be pulling 10,000 IQ plays right now. You look like you got the solution to world hunger somewhere hidden in that big-ass noggin. Like, how do you even stand up straight with that absolute cranium for a head?
But I remember this one time I got my shit flamed so hard in front of an entire audience that I was brought to tears. But I mean, I was six. I was 6 years old. And the day was December 24th, Christmas Eve. So my mom brought me and my brother to this improv play, and as we sat and waited for the show to begin, this little elf walked up to us like, hey, do you guys want to be a part of the show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, yeah, I'll do it. And once the show began, they called me and my brother up to the stage and asked us a very simple question.
So, what do you guys want for Christmas?
Oh, I want a Minecraft sword and a creeper stuffy.
And, what about you, little man?
And as I looked into that crowd with dead silence, my brain stopped braining, bro.
Hey, don't worry, it can be anything.
I wanna,
just, kid, what do you want?
I wanna, man, I wanna, I don't even know what I want.
Yo, who brought this fucking dumbass on stage, bro? Get the fuck out of here.
Now I'm paraphrasing. I mean, I was six. I don't remember exactly what he said, but that's what it felt like. And as we walked back to our seats, I was super embarrassed. But as the show started, it was actually pretty funny and people had probably forgot about it by now. But 10 minutes into the show, a character walks on stage with some goofy ass buck teeth. Yo, this guy looks stupid as hell.
Oh shit.
And this dude proceeds to absolutely cook 6 year old me with no remorse.
Hey, what's your name?
I don't know.
What?
Okay, how's your day?
Day?
What the fuck is a day? I don't know.
Well, what do you know?
No. No, that's just it. I don't know. I just don't know. Shit, I don't think I know anything.
And that shit had the whole audience laughing harder than ever. And as I looked around, my brother was laughing and even my mom was laughing. And it was this very moment that I had hit rock bottom. And at the age of six, I realized I would be put on this earth simply to suffer. And it made me cry, bro. I cried in the middle of this theater. As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
yabba dabba do. The world is ending and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy.
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants.
Yeah, bro, the bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro. I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame him. Cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time. Cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop. Then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus. Cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street. All because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass.
Aw, can I pet your dog?
Yeah, for sure.
Aw, what's your name, little guy?
His name's Ben.
Ben?
Aw, he's so cute. I just wanna punt that motherfucker.
Man, these intrusive thoughts I be having make me wonder whether I belong in maximum security prison or not. Like, I don't even mean to, but the thoughts that pop into my head are so menacing that I can't even say this shit on YouTube. Or this video will get taken down. Then I'll be canceled. Then my whole channel will get deleted. Then I'll be thrown into a psych ward, and then I'll be put on the fucking death penalty. Like, these thoughts that pop into my head are so alarming that they make me want to beat my own ass, bro.
Hey, man, why'd you just sock yourself in the face?
Oh, well, what we see, I was about to push that unsuspecting toddler into the deep end for no apparent reason, so...
Yo, this guy's about to assault a minor.
Hey, you can't do that!
Really,
but it's not like every single intrusive thought I have is bad enough to get me convicted. Like, whenever I'm walking across a bridge, I have to use every cell in my body to fight the urge of just tossing my phone into the water. Like, there is literally no benefit from doing that shit, but there's just something inside of me that would feel so much satisfaction with just seeing my phone dissipate into the water. You know, maybe you get that urge because it would just be satisfying to do some shit that's out of the box. Some shit that nobody else would do, just to break the simulation a little bit. Cause I could be having the best day of my life. I could wake up, get the meanest pump in, hop in the shower, eat the most fire breakfast, and draw the most pristine stickman I've ever drawn. But as I'm casually walking beside a bunch of cars that are going 65 miles an hour, I'm still gonna have the urge to just throw myself in front of a car, bro, and it's not even on some emo shit. Like, I want to live, but I also want to dive into some oncoming traffic. But at least I'm not the only one who does this. Like, other people do this, right?
like it's normal, right? But half the time, an intrusive thought will just be to do some goofy shit. Like, you're just forced to imagine the consequences of what it would look like to start throwing it back on a Tuesday at 2:41 p.m. And every once in a while, you'll just be chilling, and you'll witness a motherfucker fall to the intrusive urges.
What are you doing? Get off the table, bro.
Shit, he let the intrusive thoughts win, man. Now, I don't even know if these count as intrusive thoughts or not, but as a dude, when I'm walking down the street, I'll just be going on with my day chilling. Then all of a sudden I see a car and I'm like,
if I don't make it to that tree before this car, I'm gonna die.
Aw, oh, shit. Honestly, these kinds of intrusive thoughts are kind of motivating. Like, it's the same thing as having a hype man at the gym, except instead of that positive reinforcement, if you don't get those 3 extra reps, you're gonna die. It's like whenever I'm at the gym hitting those Bulgarian split squats, I'd be having mental wars with myself. Oof, that was a good set, man. I think we're done.
5 more reps or you're a bitch.
Damn, good shit. Alright, I think we can wrap it up.
10 more, pussy. Who the fuck's gonna carry the boats?
I told you we should have stopped, bro.
15 more or you like dick.
Now that I think about it, there's a good amount of people in prison right now who just succumb to their intrusive thoughts. Cause intrusive thoughts are just like that demon on your shoulder telling you to do the most devious shit possible. And I know there's a bunch of motherfuckers out there who just listen to that little guy. Hey man, you see that lovely old lady right there? Yeah, yeah, you're gonna hit her with a mean right hook.
Well, what's in it for me? Nothing.
Shit, alright. But to be honest, there is a handful of times where I've let the intrusive thoughts take over. One of the most memorable was way back when I was 5 years old. Me and my older brother were just dicking around, doing some 5-year-old shit. Keep in mind, this story takes place before your boy had even developed consciousness. So I was just a little munchkin, doing munchkin shit. Then suddenly, this urge came over me. It was unlike anything I'd ever felt before. It was dark. Irresistible. And for no apparent reason, I bit my brother's arm. And this was probably the most satisfied I'd ever felt in my entire life, but it was followed by shame and regret because I had no excuse. Ow, why the fuck did your dumbass just bite me, bro?
I felt like it.
And one of my lowest IQ moments of all time took place when I was in grade 8. It was goddamn sewing class, bro. And I remember I was having a particularly miserable day, so I was just going through the motions. We were all gathered around this big table with our sewing machines, some fabric, and some scissors. I remember I was working on some shitty little big chungus stuffy. But on this particular day, the sewing machine cable was looking mad thick and juicy. And like I said, I was having a bad day, which is exactly why the intrusive thoughts decided to catch me at my worst.
Do it.
What? To do what?
Oh, you know what to do. You're the one with the scissors in your hand, buddy.
How did these even get in my hand?
Now cut it. Cut it, Chains.
No, why the fuck would I?
The wire exploded with smoke and my heart dropped so fast, bro. And everyone around the table just stares me down.
And I'm thinking I can somehow cover this shit up like I didn't just take some fucking scissors and snip that shit like an umbilical cord. Maybe I could convince the teacher the cord snipped itself or some shit.
But as I look down at the scissors in my hand, there's literally a chunk missing from the scissors. They look like they survived World War II. But barely. The scissors are all charred up and shit, and just like that, my plan of convincing her I didn't cut it went out the fucking window. You take one look at the cord, one look at the scissors, and one look at my dumbass face, and you could piece together exactly what happened. So my sewing teacher walks over looking pissed as hell, and she tells me to go sit in the corner. So I take my charred scissors and sit in the corner like I'm a 5-year-old, but to be fair, I made a 5-year-old decision, like I was in grade 8. I was 14, bruh.
What kind of 14-year-old cuts the cord to a sewing machine cause he felt like it? Like if my 14-year-old son did some shit like that, I would tell the kid I'm going to get some milk and I'm calling it quits.
I would have to have another kid and try it all over again, cause that kid is going nowhere in life, man. So as I'm sitting in the corner, realizing I'm a disappointment, it was one of those moments where you fucked up so bad, you don't even feel any emotions. I was just sitting there, straight faced, like, well,
fuck me. It was really one of those moments where you just want to stop existing. So after the class ended, the teacher came over to me and she said, "Chains, why the fuck did you cut the cord of the sewing machine?" "No, Miss Sewingson, you gotta hear me out." "Okay, this better be good, Chains." "Oh, I was looking mad juicy and the scissors just teleported into my hands. I don't even know."
"You did what?"
"Ah, Mom, it was the intrusive thoughts that they told me to do."
"Oh, I'm about to intrude that ass."
"The fuck?"
"3 a.m. Once the clock strikes 3 a.m., I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait. Did the brain name itself? Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk introducing itself in Spanish? I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m., I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m., I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m. And my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a two-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kind of like being high a little bit. Because you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a 3-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed. Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why?
Yeah, why? Because it was dead.
Oh.
Damn. Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago, brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since.
Man, the very moment my stickman lips graze the tip of that sweet, sweet Zaza, it's wraps for all the food in the fridge. And as soon as that THC tickles my brain, it's GG's. The food in my closet is already consumed, bruh. And shit, when I run out of food in the crib, I give my condolences to the local McDonald's workers. Cause man, I'm about to have those motherfuckers working overtime. Now listen, man, shout out to all my big homies out there, but I'm gonna make it clear real quick that I am not one of y'all. In fact, I make sure that I am precisely 64 pixels wide at all times. However, I will say mentally and in my heart, I am a little bit of an EDP 445. Wait. No. I like food.
What I was trying to say is that I like food, and usually I can resist food, but once that devil's lettuce gets a hold of my brain, I become a certified fat ass. I'm talking 750 pixels wide at least. I'm eating anything in sight, and as soon as I run out of food, I go to a new site and eat everything in sight again. And honestly, this shit is becoming a problem, bro.
No shit, buddy, your arteries are clogging.
Yeah, yeah.
And your blood pressure is through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that too.
And you're developing type 7 diabetes.
Whoa, type 7? I thought there was only two types.
There was, until your fat ass decided to eat 87 ice cream sandwiches. How the fuck do you stomach 87 ice cream sandwiches?
Anyways, man, the munchies are lit, bro, because it's the only time you can truly taste each individual atom as it hits your tongue. Like, eating some good food while high is like a meditation, bro. Like, when you're zooted munching on some Doritos and you start closing your eyes, shit, you might just fuck around and become the Dorito. Now, this happens to me on a routinely basis, and as heavenly as that experience is, I must warn you, when you come out of your Dorito coma, you will be at least 5 bags deep in that motherfucker, and your hands may never be the same. Man, I'm still trying to recover to this day. Yeah, my Doritos still taste like fingers, bro. And if staining my fingers orange and developing a new type of diabetes sounds bad, my munchies addiction gets worse, bro. Because when you combine the zooted desire for food with the distorted judgment of the baked brain, shit, that's the perfect equation to put me into crippling debt. Especially back in the day, because as a youngin', the only thing I was cooking was my brain cells, bruh. So that meant I had to buy food. And to put it into simpleton terms, well, I was broke as shit. I remember one hot sunny day, me and the boys were chilling at a carnival with some of our other boys, and one of those boys whips out his dap pen. And so of course everyone flocks around that dude and chiefs the fuck out of his dap pen, and 15 minutes later, that shit hit. But you know what hit even harder? The goddamn munchies. And so there I was, walking around the carnival, absolutely blasted, with $50 to my name, looking for something to eat. And don't get me wrong, the carnival had lots of options, but they were really taxing out here, and for a dude with 50 bones to his name, I needed to find the most bang for my buck. And there I saw it. It was beautiful. A pink ice cream truck glistening in the summer sun. So you know I had to hop in line, and as I'm waiting in this line, the dude in front of me turns around and he's like, damn bro, you look high as giraffe balls, dude. What? Me? Nah, what? Me? No.
Hey, don't worry, dude.
I am too.
Oh, shit.
So me and my newfound homie are just chopping it up, talking about how sensational this ice cream is about to be, and soon enough, it was the homie's turn to order. Yo, dude, let me borrow one of those cookie dough ice cream cones. Alrighty, here you go. That'll be $12.
$12, bro? That's like half my net worth.
Trust me, it's worth it, dude.
Yo, let me get a cookie cone.
Alright, cookies and cream, here you go. And as I licked that thing, man, that shit was sensational as fuck. But as I turned around, I seen the baked homie step into a pothole and absolutely fumble his ice cream cone. And I'm not gonna lie, that was some of the saddest shit I ever seen. So I go walk over to give him some of mine. Hey man, you want some cookies and cream?
Oh shit, thank you man.
Bro, did you just drop both of our $12 ice cream cones? Fuck. Then we were back in line like nothing ever happened. But man, waiting in that sun, my mouth was parched and my eyes were dry. And by the time we made it to the end of the line, I was looking like dried up SpongeBob, bro.
Hey, it's you again.
Can I get the cream?
Yeah.
And at last, after dropping half my net worth on ice cream, I took a big bite of that ice cream cone and man, I felt every sugar granule, every atom, every proton and electron contained within that bite. And for the time being, the munchies were cured.
Alright class, today we're going outside for a run.
It's literally 0 degrees.
Oh, Chains. Don't be a bitch. It's not even that cold. See? I told you guys it's not even that cold.
Yeah, for you. Cause you're out here dressed like the Michelin Man. High school PE is something different. And every PE class has 5 different types of people. Like the group of kids who just stand in the corner and occasionally get sniped in the head with a dodgeball. Or the kids who participate and make sure everyone is included. Or the legend who's chilling on Instagram. he follows at Chains for Real. There's also the dude who just never shows up. And of course, we got the sweats. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're in the military. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're training for the Olympics. These motherfuckers treat PE like they're gonna get scouted to the league. Which is honestly just funny as hell because, let's be honest, 85.7% of the class doesn't even want to be there. So you'll have some innocent souls zoning out during a basketball game, and all of a sudden they'll be getting posterized like they're playing against Ja Morant.
Yeah, bitch!
I mean, these kids will come out of PE drenched in sweat, breathing heavy, and with a smile on their face, knowing they dropped 104 points on some kids who have never touched a basketball in their life. And listen, don't hate me, but I do understand the appeal of sweating your balls off in PE. Because I too once participated in the sweaty activities.
Oh, ow.
Ow. I know, but there's just something so exhilarating about hearing the snapping of an unsuspecting freshman's ankles. But as I matured, I realized there was only one thing better than shitting on random students. And that was shitting on sweats. I became the anti-sweat. I would act like an innocent soul waiting to get posterized, but when the sweat would come in trying to end my career with a windmill dunk, I stuffed that boy like a Thanksgiving turkey. Pause. And don't get me started on
the fitness grand pacer.
Whoever created this legal form of torture will catch these hands. Oh, Chains, no, I heard he sadly passed away a little while ago. You could be having a good day and you pull up to PE like, hey bro, you know what we're doing today? I'm not sure, but I think we're playing soccer. No, it can't be. Alright class, today we will be doing the beep test. Fuck. Woo. Damn, what was I at?
Chains, we haven't even started. That was just our warm-up.
But one thing that did bring me a little bit of joy was looking at everyone during the push-up section. Like, there was always some dude doing the neck push-ups, some dude who thinks he's Mike Tyson, the guy who takes breaks when the teacher isn't watching, and there was always at least one dude who was out here looking like he was hitting it raw. James, I don't think that's how you do it. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, bitch!
Man, there's a lot of questionable places on Earth, like the Bermuda Triangle or Area 51 or even this place. But none of these places can compare to the questionability of high school. And so inevitably, there's some weird ass kids in that joint. Like, you gotta be careful who you talk to, bro, cause you approach the wrong student and shit. You're getting cussed out by a pack of hyenas in social studies class. And usually I never care what other people do. Like, you do you, you know what I'm saying? But when I gotta sit through that shit for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, shit. Can you stop doing you for like 5 minutes, bro? And speaking of annoying kids, there's always that one kid in class who's constantly gargling on the teacher's meat. Like, we'll be finishing up the last class on a Friday, and of course the teacher's pets gotta say some shit like, Mr. Cumminson, is there no homework for us to complete over the weekend?
Well, no, believe it or not, I'd rather not spend my weekend marking your shitty ass little essay, so.
But don't worry, Mr. Cumminson, I can help you mark essays all weekend long.
Whoa, isn't that against school policy?
Well, what's against school policy?
Riding Mr. Cumminson's dick with no license?
Hey, you're not allowed to swear.
And of course, the class clown. And man, I really just gotta commend him for his work. Like, it's not an easy job being the class clown. Dude threw out his entire GPA, future, and probably got his shit whooped on multiple occasions just to keep the class entertained. Like, I'll be rotting in English class, about to fall asleep, until the class clown starts cooking the teacher for no apparent reason.
And next we're looking at adjectives. Does anyone have any good examples?
Yeah, Jason. bald as shit.
Oh,
well,
shit.
No, that's actually three words.
No. I wasn't even using an example. You're just so goddamn bald, it's distracting.
God, hey, damn. You know what they say. The more hair I lose, the more head I get.
No. I don't think that's true, Mr. Clean. Because you got more hair than you got hoes. And that says a lot with your Caillou looking ass.
Just go to detention, man.
And you know we got the Redditor, bro. Now, don't be deceived. Redditors can come in all shapes and sizes, especially the extra large size and even the extra extra large size, but regardless, they all have the same programming encoded into their brains. They're either talking about a video game or they're quoting a meme, bro. And I got a little piece of advice to any Redditors out there. I don't care how funny that shit may be in your head, if you have to verbally describe what a meme looks like, for your sake, just don't say it, bro, because I promise you that joke will not hit.
And next up we got Darren presenting a slideshow on why Elon Musk is poggers. Whenever you're ready.
Me standing in front of the class waiting to present. You know that meme where Mike Wazowski is standing there in an awkward fashion with his hands by his side and he's got like two eyes.
Now there really is levels to being a Redditor. And don't get me wrong, they're not all that bad, but the ones that got that I paused my game to be here T paired up with the beer belly neck beard combo, that shit is lethal. And if you press E to interact with one of these bad boys, you'll get stuck in an endless time loop hearing about Among Us memes and hentai. Now the band kids are like the Redditor's second cousin. Like it's all the same shit, but bro just knows how to play a tuba. Now on the opposite side of the spectrum, we got the dudes who touch grass. The athletes. Now I feel like these dudes got a bad reputation when it comes to the jock stereotypes from the movies. Because the ratio of athletes shoving nerds in lockers is probably like 1 in 75. And the one was most likely just having a bad day. Speaking of bad days, getting shoved in a locker really has a way of ruining your day, and you really gotta feel bad for the nerds who have to endure this type of harassment every single day. Well actually, it's only every other Tuesday after their football practice. Yeah, but you shouldn't have to be shoved in a locker at all. You shouldn't have to be. That's grammatically incorrect. It's actually supposed
to be.
There's really just three types of smart people. The first dude, you wouldn't even be able to tell bro's smart because he's just lazy as fuck. He'd be acing every test using 1% of his brain power. Like he's got that Elon Musk potential, but shit, he just doesn't really feel like being a billionaire today. Or on the other hand, we got the weirdly political and argumentative smart dude. This guy used up all his IQ points on logic and reasoning and completely forgot to upgrade his social awareness. Because this is the kind of guy that everyone mutually agrees is just annoying as fuck. Like you can't do shit around this dude without him trying to start an argument. Yo Chains, you think I sink this half court shot? Bro, there is no chance you make that shit. You are incorrect. No chance implies that statistically there is a 0% chance that it goes in, which is wrong, as others have made this exact shot before Billy. Truthfully, there's a chance for just about anything to happen, even though the chances may be slim. Well, that's cap, because there's no chance for you, bro. No chance for me to what? You gotta be more specific.
For you to get some bitches!
And some people are just smart, and they still have the ability to be a normal functioning member of society. A lot of these people are chill as fuck, like they can teach you shit you don't understand, carry you in group projects, and if they're goated, they can just bless you with the homework. And this is not the same is getting your homework from the class clown or the athlete, because this shit is actually correct. And next, we got the other dudes who touch grass. The stoners. Why are you looking at me? There's always a dude posted up in the back of the class who's visually fried as fuck. You'll commonly see him posted up with a snack of some sort, and you know they never forget the Bev. Now you don't want this dude's homework, because I promise you we will just have a bunch of doodles with some mushrooms and this graffiti S, and somehow these motherfuckers will manage to take a multiple choice test and get every answer wrong. Like it's actually kind of impressive when you think about it. But besides that, they're just cool people. But I'm not gonna lie, I can't really say the same about the hot Cheeto girls, bro. Like these girls put in an effort to be as loud as possible. Like lord forbid if one of these these girls breaks one of their long-ass nails, it doesn't matter if you sit on the opposite side of the class, you're gonna hear about it. You're also gonna hear them chewing those hot Cheetos, because they be lip-smacking like crazy. Speaking of smacking, there's always that one kid in school who simply enjoys smacking motherfuckers. And at my school, it was Jordan Johnson. And if you see my high school fights video,
that's why you don't mess with me, yo. I'm Jordan Johnson.
Or my high school dances video,
I'm Jordan Johnson.
You would know, Jordan Johnson keeps a solid ass record, but it's at the point where bros fought so many people that nobody really even fucks with them. Cause now it's like either you fought Jordan Johnson or your homies fought Jordan Johnson, and either way, it's fuck Jordan Johnson. But all bias aside, you just gotta appreciate the top tier, high value entertainment that JJ brings to the school. Like after a long day of calculus and chemistry, there's nothing like watching a dude get Batista bombed in front of the whole school. And speaking of the whole school, 75% of the whole school are straight NPCs. And there's nothing wrong with it. It is what it is, because honestly, I love you for that. I couldn't be happier to share the school with you, my man. Cause I'm not gonna lie, I don't think I would survive a school without NPCs. The sheer amount of Redditors, hot Cheeto girls, and teachers' pets, fuck, I'd rather be homeschooled at that point. But all jokes aside, man, every student plays a crucial part of the high school experience. So remember to appreciate everyone.
Man, family functions have the weirdest dynamic, bro. Like, how have you known these people your entire life, but have still never gone past the surface level conversation? I mean, let me know if it's just my family, but every function is the same. The whole gang links up, and everyone just asks the most generic small talk questions to each other. Hey, how's that new place you bought? Oh, yeah, you know, it's good. And how's the kids doing? Oh, you know, they're good. Oh, and how's the wife? Man, fuck your wife. I don't want to hear any of these NPC conversations, bro. And let me know if I'm getting too specific here, but what about that one uncle who goes by the name of either Bob, Jerry, or Dave? And this dude will just always be saying the most out-of-pocket things imaginable. Oh, how's your daughter Jane doing? Oh, Jane's always been hot, eh?
Bob, she's 15!
This uncle be at the family function thinking it's Coachella or something.
Bob, another beer's a little bit excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, football!
I'm the youngest person in my whole family, which for whatever unspoken reason, it just means everyone has the go-ahead to flame the living shit out of me. Hey, Chain, still no girlfriend, huh? I guess you're not too good with the ladies there. But I make one joke back and I'm the bad guy. You don't seem too good with the ladies yourself, seeing as your wife just divorced you and she took the kids with her. Am I right? Not only do they feel free to roast your whole existence simply because you were born last, they unanimously decide you will be everyone's personal butler. Hey bud, go get another beer for me. Alright, yeah, for sure. Thanks. Now you better get started on mowing that lawn. Grass isn't gonna cut itself, am I right?
Oh my god, bro.
And coming into these family functions, you would think your mom is your closest ally. But as soon as she gets the chance, she will expose your biggest secret for a little bit of parent clout. You guys will never guess what I found under Chain's bed yesterday.
Oh my god, what is it?
Yeah, tell
what?
Us.
What? No way.
Sometimes when my family tries to make small talk with me, they just miss the boat completely. So, buddy, how's those swimming lessons going for you? The swimming lessons I took when I was 5? Yeah, right, those ones. They're good. I finished them a little while ago. Oh, is that right? Good for you, buddy. And bro, don't get me started on those recycled ass jokes. Well, looks like you got your workout for the day.
Oh, looks like you've gotten so tall. What are you feeding this kid, am I right? Oh, Bob, I think you got some food in your beard.
Oh, don't worry, I'm saving it for later.
Ah, oh, good one,
oh,
Bill.
Oh, Bob, he's so funny.
Thank you.
I guess everyone at the function must have Alzheimer's or something. Because these jokes will have them cracking up like they haven't heard the same joke the past 15 functions. But cousins, man. Cousins are the saving grace of family functions. Without cousins, you would have no choice but to participate in the tomfoolery of small talk. I'd be walking in the function just praying to see that one cousin. And bro, I have a family function survival tip for you.
you always have to stay within arm's reach of either your siblings or your cousins. Because whenever some bullshit goes down, you just give each other the look and flee the scene. And because when you get caught lacking on your own at the function, you get jumped. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit. Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, oh shit, I'm gonna just get my backpack and shit. So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights. Hopefully no fucking sword fights, and bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now? Or bro, I'm sure you didn't take anything. Just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest, locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, there's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with Ultra.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or or you'll get some fucking pizza, I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck. Shut up. You skip neck day.
Yeah, he skips neck day.
Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off. And he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in Axe spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that Axe spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and Axe spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible. Shut the fuck up. And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association. Which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy. Because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms. So they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena. There is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can, a female.
Bad haircuts. There is nothing worse than when your barber just randomly decides to destroy your self-confidence with some goofy ass haircut. And as someone who has never found a barber who consistently does me nicely, I have gotten my shit all the way fucked up on many occasions. I'm talking not going to school, locking myself in my room so nobody can see me with this disgraceful cut type of fucked up. And these barbers are out here having the audacity to ask, "Do you like it?" Man, do I like it? Yeah, bro. I love it, bro. Thank you so much. Man, I'd just be wiping the tears away and then tipping them nicely. Knowing damn well I should be out here throwing hands, because this dude is the reason I can't get any bitches. So I've tried lots of different barbers in my time, starting with the ones my mom used to take me to. I mean, this early, I never really even had a say on what I wanted my hair to look like. So what are you looking for today? You know, just a little bit off the top, please. Shave it. Wait, what? Shave it. Your new haircut looks so good, buddy. Thanks. Hey man, you know your haircut is ass when your mom says she likes it. As a kid, I always dreaded getting haircuts because I knew my barber was already like 0 for 10. And I would show up to school every time knowing it was inevitable that I was about to get my shit flamed. And truthfully, there is no worse roasting than when you get a bad haircut. Like, people you barely even know will be out here cooking you.
Who the fuck is this?
All of a sudden, people got more jokes than Chris Rock. And it's even worse when you decide, I should get a fresh cut because school's starting back up and I'm trying to look fresh. Bro, I can't go to school like this. Yo, Chains, what's up? Yo, what's good? Bro, are you alright? Why do you got this hoodie on? Yeah, I'm chilling. I'm just kind of cold, you know? Bro, it's 32 degrees. And man, there was this one time that I still think about every time I fall asleep. Me and my friend go to this barbershop that I'd been to once before, and last time they did me quite nicely. So we head in, I sit down in the chair. Hey, how you doing? I'm good, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. Have you been here before? Yeah, I have actually. Oh, I remember you. Same cut as last time? Yeah, exactly. So what's new, man? Nothing much really. What about you? You know, I've just been working. Oh yeah, respect. So, how's your dad doing? This is when I knew something was terribly wrong.
Bro, I don't got a dad.
Fuck!
You know, he's good.
This motherfucker was giving me some random kid's haircut. This dude must have thought I was Manny or some shit. Cause he gave me that middle part cut. And he pushed my hairline back a little bit. And everyone in my city knew this barber. So everyone at my school followed his Instagram too. Can I get a picture from my Instagram? Nah, bro, I don't really like being posted. Don't worry, it's quick. Nah, I don't really want to. This dude caught me lacking so bad and broadcasted it to everyone in my city. Fuck, bro, I should throw hands with him right now. I gotta get it back in blood. So, do you like the cut? Yeah. Yeah, I do. And when I checked my Instagram, I was out here getting flamed so hard. Borderline cyberbullying. And I'm not joking when I say this. This motherfucker fucked me up so bad. I learned how to cut my own hair and never went back to a barber ever again.
Listen, bro, in this world, there's levels to clout. You could get yourself some Instagram followers. You could stack up a few bands. You could even be famous, but there's only one spot in life that is superior to the rest. A spot so glorious and sought after that they are idolized like no other.
It's me. I've got the infinite money glitch.
Come on, Jimmy. You know it's me. I need a max win.
Man, shut the fuck up, Drizzy. I'm literally Kanye West.
Nah, but I'm the top G.
All right, look. Oh, bro, let's go band for band then. It's me.
But I'm the fastest kid in my school. Bro, I don't know who decided speed would be the deciding factor for who's the king of the school, but all I'ma say is, that motherfucker's the GOAT, bro, because I was the fastest kid in my school. I was clapping everyone in races, I was breaking track records, and I had all the 9-year-old baddies, man. I wish I could still pull like that. Alright, it's just a miscommunication, you know, like, when I say 9-year-old baddies, I didn't mean
explain
like-
Explain it to the judge, buddy.
Sick fuck. And because I peaked in elementary school, come with me and we'll take a look back at some of the first years of our lives and maybe some of the best, am I right? Kindergarten. Coming into kindergarten, kids were either excited or terrified as fuck for their first day. I mean, I would be pretty fucking pissed too if I knew this was the beginning of me being locked up every day for 13 years. But kindergarten was funny as hell because these kids had no clue what was right and wrong, so they'd be saying the most outrageous shit for no reason at all, bro. Hey, buddy with the hat, can you pass me the skin color crayon? I mean, at this age, kids were just walking NPCs, and I can't even blame them. I mean, they haven't developed consciousness yet, bro. Like, at this age, recess consisted of catching bugs, playing on the monkey bars, and fucking eating sand. And I've talked about the high school bathrooms and all the wild shit that happens in there, but to be honest, the elementary school bathrooms blow that shit out the water, bro. Cause these kids aren't hitting vape tricks, no. They're hitting toilet trick shots, trying to set some world record for the farthest piss taken from the toilet. And let's just say even Stephen Curry couldn't splash that three-pointer. So essentially, motherfuckers was just pissing on the ground. Like, you need to walk into that bathroom 110% alert, or else the next thing you know, you're getting that R. Kelly treatment, bro. bro. And I remember my kindergarten had those green, yellow, and red cards to show how good you were that day, but there was always that one kid with the permanent red. I'm talking the teacher didn't even bother to change his shit the next day, because everyone knows as soon as he walks into class, he's doing some fuck shit. For me, it was this kid we'll call Dennis, because he was a menace, bro. He was always loud, always throwing shit, but besides being a menace, he was also a truth speaker, a fact spitter, for better or for worse, because this little guy had no filter. Okay, Leah, you're up first for our show and tell. Okay, I brought my favorite painting of mine. This right here, this one's me, and this is my dog, Peanut Butter.
That shit is bad.
Dennis, what did we say about saying the truth out loud? I mean, not the truth. I'm talking about, like, he was the only dude I knew who could talk over the quiet coyote. I mean, to this day, if I see one of those things, I just can't talk. I just can't talk over it. I mean, maybe he's gonna eat me. I don't fucking know. But there was one thing that could shut Dennis up, and one thing only. Boy-girl seating arrangements. Dennis always had so much to say until you put him beside Isabel and Leah, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what are you drawing?
Nothing.
Aw, is that your dog?
Maybe.
Shit, he's just like me for real. Like, to this day, you know?
Oh, shit.
And then we go outside for lunch, and don't get me wrong, eating sand for fun was great and all, but as kids got older, everyone started to play games, some of which consisted of tag, manhunt, soccer, basketball, grounders, red ass, kickball, jump rope, tetherball, and what is possibly the most goated game of all time. Foursquare. This game was legendary, bro, but this shit used to get heated as fuck. I mean, kids were making truces, making whole clans, and that right there was real beef. Like, if you caught the ops lacking at nap time, it was on sight, bro.
Psst, what?
Oh, no, wait.
You're a poopy
no!
Head.
But man, crushes were everything in elementary school. Like, if you told anyone you had the smallest crush on a girl, word's getting out fast and the entire class is gonna be organizing a wedding for tomorrow. But some kids just didn't use their words. Like this one girl in my elementary school who most definitely had a crush on me. I mean, once again, I was the fastest kid in my elementary school, so... As I was saying, this girl had a crush on me, but she didn't like using her words, so essentially, she just beat my ass. I mean, what better way to tell someone you like them? And she must have really liked me, bro, because you could see it when I came home, like, oh my god, Chains, what happened?
Oh, well, I think this girl at school likes me.
Oh, yeah, that's great, but why do you have so many bruises?
Well, Mom, I think she really likes me.
No, I think you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And there was also that one kid who went around teaching people swear words just because he could. And of course, when I learn some shiny new words, I'm gonna use them. I mean, I still fucking do. But I remember just talking with my friends, dropping the F-bomb, feeling cool as hell. And then one time, I see this girl hauling ass over to the teacher and whispering in her ear. And I already knew what was going down because this girl was the biggest snitch known to man. Like, unprovoked. It was like a hobby or some shit. To her. And her name was Erin. Like, her real name was Erin, spelled E-R-I-N. Yeah, how's it feel to get snitched on, buddy? But getting in trouble in elementary school was tough, because they would act like you were committing war crimes for the smallest things. Like, when I got snitched on for swearing, I was in grade 4. I was a big boy, you know what I'm saying? But my teacher was pissed, bro. Chains, you can never say that word. It's horrendous.
What does horrendous mean?
It's not good, okay?
Aw, shit, my bad.
Chains!
Aw, sorry, it just stuck in my fucking brain.
Chains, cut it out right now or you get detention.
Okay, I'm sorry, motherfucker. What?
And I'm not gonna lie, the most cursed part of elementary school was the talent shows, bro. Cause the teachers expect you to be all quiet and serious and shit, but it was literally a real life try not to laugh. Like, how am I supposed to be serious when Jimmy's up there shitting out Minecraft parodies like it's comedy gold? I mean, at my school, it was less of a talent show and more of a come on stage in front of the entire school and do whatever the fuck you want for 10 minutes type of show. And man, that shit was brutal. It was like watching paint dry. But if the paint was 7 years old and standing on a stage in front of the entire school, nervous as hell, shitting his pants. Cause elementary school had some weird kids, bro. Like those kids who used to put glue on their hands to let it dry so they could peel it off. Or the kid who would just straight up eat the glue. Or the weird kid who would secretly take a bite out of every single foam football. Like, how are you that hungry? The kid who only wore shorts through rain and snow. The kid who was mad at everyone for no reason. The kid who wouldn't stop yapping. The kid kid who always had to flex how strong their dad is.
My dad is so much stronger than yours, he can beat up your dad with his pinky finger. He can bench press 625 pounds.
Wait, what even is that?
You don't know what a bench press is?
No. What the fuck is a dad?
The kid who thought he was Albert Einstein. The snitch named Aaron lives at 354 Stickman Way.
The fake snitch.
Bro, you won't believe what I just did.
What'd you do?
I just put my juice box in the recycling. Get this. With the straw inside.
I'm telling the teacher. Teacher.
Jackson.
Yeah, can I go to the bathroom?
The teacher's pet named Aaron, E-R-I-N, postal code 3310. And of course, the fastest kid in the school. You know what I'm saying? That was me. I was him. I was the fastest kid in my...
Awkward conversations. We all know him and we all hate him. Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that.
Damn, you right. You right.
So, how's your day going? My pet frog just died.
Damn, that's tough.
I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world. Well, let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Oh, fist bump. Oh, no, sorry.
God damn it. After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Man, why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way? Situation. I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro. Alright, peace out. alright, bye. Bye.
Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward. Man, what the fuck?
And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart and we saw one of our neighbors. So we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life.
It's clear.
And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence. Yeah, that's funny. Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things. Yeah, that's funny. So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying?
Man, summer is just a beautiful season. The sun is shining, the trees are green, and you can stay out with your homies all night. And best of all, you get to sleep in till that shit gets absolutely fucked by the first day of school. And waking up to that first alarm of the school year will have you discombobulated as hell, like
chains, square doodle mat, salami mouse.
What? You heard me, square doodle mat, salami mouse.
Wait, huh?
Really? Keytorch Claw Bozomorph.
Man, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah! What the fuck? And even though getting out of bed early hurts your soul, it's absolutely necessary you spend at least 5 minutes staring at your wall, contemplating your entire life. And if you're a real G, you laid out your toughest fit the night before, so you're low-key hyped to rock that shit to school. So you throw on your new shoes and flick up for the first day of school. And then you walk over to the establishment where you will not only pursue your educational prowess, but you may also dabble in what some call stunting on these hoes. And man, I will say, linking up with your boys on the first day of school just hits different. Like, I be reuniting with the homies like I didn't just see them 12 hours ago. And we're all happy and shit until the school bell reminds me I just got my ass locked up for another 10 months. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I've ever made it to my first class of the year on time. Like, it'll be 9:15 and my dumbass will still be trying to figure out how to make it to room 347 by 8:55. And walking into your first class of the year late has to be one of the most uncomfortable situations you can experience, bro. Cause the teacher will be like, oh, and who are you?
Oh, I'm Chains.
Well, Chains, why are you late?
Because the bell rang before I got here.
Alright, whatever. We waited for you before we started introductions.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have.
Well, you're welcome. We just wanted you to feel-
No, like, you really shouldn't have. Like, I don't want to do this shit.
And tell me why all these teachers have been copy-pasting the same icebreaker games since preschool. Like that one where you have to start with an adjective that starts with the same letter as your name. Like, how do you have a group of legal adults in a circle, awkward as hell, talking about,
hi guys, I'm Super Sarah. Hey y'all, I'm Awesome Aiden. And I'm a Marvelous Marvin.
Shit, if we don't stop doing these fucking icebreakers, I'm about to joyfully jump off a cliff. And after we're done grinding out icebreakers, these teachers have the audacity to show a whole 50 slide PowerPoint all about them. Like, the fuck? This class is supposed to be the study of math, not the study of your daughter's soccer games, bro. And I'm not even gonna lie, my dumbass will be out there taking notes, wondering how this 7-year-old's goals per game ratio is gonna help me on my trigonometry test. Then just as soon as you survive all that bullshit, you gotta go to the next class and do that shit again. And by the time you've learned half your teacher's favorite hiking spots and relationship statuses, you're relieved to hear the lunch bell. Only to find out the cafeteria's serving straight ass with a side of booty for lunch. And my standards aren't even high. Like, during summer, I was on a seafood diet, as they would say. When I see food, I eat that shit. But when it comes to this cafeteria food, I could even bring myself to smell that abomination they're calling meatloaf. But even though the food was straight dookie, I won't lie, it's kinda nice being back at the lunch table freestyling with the homies. But of course, all good things must come to an end. So the bell rings and I go to depart ways with the homies.
Alright, peace out, man.
Yeah, see ya, bro.
Oh shit, are we going the same way?
Damn, yeah, I guess so.
Alright, peace out for real.
Yeah, see ya, bro.
Shit. Alright, my class is right here. Bro.
Me too!
Oh, shit!
Let's go!
Alright, class, I'm gonna be taking some attendance. Correct me if I get your name wrong. Jason.
Here.
Billy.
Yo.
Megan.
Present.
Chains.
Here.
Charlie.
That's me.
Bob.
No fucking
bro.
Way.
Is there any Bobs in the room?
Yo, do you hear that?
Is that intro music? Does anyone here know a Bob?
No.
Man, nothing beats a class where you got all the boys sitting together. Like, from the jump, you already know you're all about to fail the fuck out of that shit, but it's gonna be fun as hell. Alright, so, everyone introduce yourselves and tell us what you did over summer break.
My name's Bartholomew. My name's Bartholomew, and I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I had a pretty rough summer. I mean, I crashed my car, my girlfriend broke up with me, someone robbed my house, my grandma got jumped the other day.
Oh, bro, not the grandma.
You three in the back, disrespectful.
And what's crazy about the first day of the school year is how these teachers will act all nice talking about,
it's so lovely to see all your beautiful faces, and it's also nice to see you, Aiden.
Wait, what the fuck?
We're gonna have an amazing fun year, and guess what? There's no homework today.
Knowing damn well they're about to make up for it with twice as much homework tomorrow. Like, they'll for real be handing out kindergarten ass coloring sheets the first day, and then tomorrow you're getting your ass whooped by some calculus worksheets. And I didn't even talk about the motherfuckers you'll be seeing in the halls on the first day. Like, I don't know what these dudes be going through in those 2 months, but motherfuckers be going from Arthur Kennedy to AK real fast, bro.
Oh shit, is that you, Arthur?
Whoa, G, don't be dropping the government name like that.
Government name? But that's just your first name.
Hey fam, it's AK.
Aye, man. What you been up to, bro?
Hey fam, I'm trapping, trying to make it out of the mud, you know?
The mud?
you live in a gated community.
Oh shit, that's the ops right there, fam. Get down.
The ops? That's just fucking Edward.
Or the way these new freshmen be walking like they're scared a senior's gonna slap the books out of their hands and take their Fortnite V-Bucks gift card. Like, bro, you freshmen are worried about the wrong V-card. Like, I don't know why, but the day these kids go from sophomore to seniors, they instantly decide to pull an EDP. Like, bro, you're 18 and she's fresh out of middle school. That's a whole crime. But that's not the only crime motherfuckers be committing on the first day of school. Some dudes be pulling up to school with the most atrocious fits known to man. Like, there's no fucking way you laid out this ramen noodle chicken soup ass fit the night before, slept on it, then woke up and thought, oh yeah, the hoes are gonna love this one. Like, I'm not gonna lie, you could never catch me wearing the types of fit these motherfuckers be wearing, bro. Like, that shit should have never made it out the closet. Like, I don't condone bullying, but all I'ma say is, your actions have consequences, bro. Speaking of consequences, every year it seems like the rules teachers tell you on the first day keep getting more strict. Like, you'll be walking into the first class of the year all jolly and shit. All of a sudden you're getting your shit smacked by the longest list of class rules you've ever seen. Hey class, I'm super excited to have you. We're gonna have so much fun this year, but first, I'm gonna go over some of the class rules. Okay, so there will be no negativity, no phones, no food, no talking when I'm talking. Actually, no talking ever, no laughing, no smiling, breathe as quiet as possible, no washroom breaks, and last but not least, no having fun. So yeah guys, like I said, I think we're gonna have a lot of fun this year.
And just like that, man, summer's over and you're back to school. It's possibly one of the worst times of the year. Like, do you really think it's a coincidence that when school starts up, the sun just starts hiding and the leaves start dying? You see what I'm implying. But I will say, one day you might just look back on these times as the good old days and you might just start crying.
High school bathrooms have to be one of the most unorthodox places in the entire world. Walking into the bathroom, you have absolutely no clue what to expect. And honestly, that's the best part. I remember one time I had walked into the bathroom, you know, to take a piss. And when I had opened the door, I was not surprised to see some motherfucker getting his head shaved bald. And these dudes were so casual about it too. Yo, what's up? What up? And you know, it's cool and all to be able to be entertained while you're trying to release your bodily fluids. But I mean, sometimes you just want some peace and quiet. Because you truly never know when something like this can happen to you. And that is precisely why I'm scared to ever shit in the school bathroom. And listen, my school bathroom has always been bad. But these TikTok trends that keep popping up made the bathroom situation so much worse. Yo, look at this TikTok. That's kind of funny. 1 week later. Damn, someone took the soap dispensers. Who snatched the blow dryers, bruh? Where the fuck did the urinals go?
1 hour later.
Hold up. Who hit a lick on the bathroom? These TikToks had the school announcements like,
"Guys, I'm begging you. Stop with the devious licks."
If you see anyone hitting a devious lick in the bathroom, report it to the office immediately. And I'm not gonna lie, this trend was low-key pointless. Like, once you go home, fuck are you gonna do with the broken blow dryer, bruh? But there was one TikTok bathroom trend that was fire.
So, what is the square root of pi? Chains.
Oh yeah, can I go to the bathroom?
Be quick.
Am I tripping or did I just hear- Yeah, bro. Bathroom functions are a 10 out of 10 TikTok trend. Hey, man, if you're still in high school, I recommend trying it. Anyways, I've obviously never been in the girls' washroom before, but I be seeing way too many TikToks filmed in there. Like, is it just a normal thing for girls to go to the washroom while other girls are just in there hitting the renegade? Like, I wouldn't know, but that whole situation seems a little bit awkward to me.
Wait.
Renegade.
And when it comes to most public schools, the washroom is like the black market of the school. So there's always some dude trying to sell you something. Yo, you need anything right now? I got that Gandalf OG, that Alaskan Thunder, some purple monkey balls, got those Girl Scout cookies. Hey man, just give me a second. I'm kind of busy right now. I got that Sour Diesel, that Granddaddy Purple Deluxe. Trust me, this stuff will blow your socks off. And every once in a while, someone will bring boxing gloves. All of a sudden, the school bathroom turns into the octagon. People are getting knocked out, dropped, and getting hit with the guillotine chokehold. But as soon as a teacher walks in...
Middle school is just an awkward place, bro. Like, middle school dances, awkward. Middle school speeches, awkward. And middle school relationships, in my experience, is the most awkward thing on the face of this planet. I mean, the girl's a whole foot taller, got a deeper voice, and shit, she could probably bench more than you, little bro. Like, I hate to break it to you, but you don't got a girlfriend. You are the girlfriend, bruh. Middle school just occurs at the craziest time in a teenager's life, cause motherfuckers is just getting slapped by puberty out of nowhere. You'll be walking down the halls and see a bunch of kids who look fresh out of daycare. Then all of a sudden you'll see a grown ass man built like Shaquille O'Neal thumping his way down to math class. And attendance in middle school was looking like,
Matthew? Here.
George?
Present.
Daisy?
Here.
Owen?
Here.
Dude's balls would be dropping halfway through presenting their speech, like,
and this is specifically why dinosaurs
went extinct.
And in middle school, nobody had drip. Like, dudes would be showing up to school in a neon green t-shirt paired with some bright red shoes looking like a fucking traffic light. Well, their haircuts looking like their barber cut their shit with one hand, well blindfolded. But to be fair, everyone had a shitty haircut in middle school, bro. And if you think your cut wasn't that bad in middle school, chances are your shit's probably still ass to this day. And just to make things worse, the cherry on top is that everybody's got acne. There's just all these hormones flying around and these kids have no clue what to do with them. Which is exactly why middle school beef is unmatched, bro. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands for no reason at all. And I don't know how, but somehow even the fights were awkward. It would be like, hey pal, I heard you sat beside my crush in class today. So what? You wanna fight about it?
I mean, like, if you wanted to. That, like, I'm not scared, like, yeah, we can fight.
Okay, let's freaking go, pussy.
Fuck, I wasn't ready.
Sorry, was that too soon?
No shit, Sherlock.
Okay, you can hit me back so we're even. But if two dudes were throwing hands and their crush is watching, they're about to fight to the death. But the thing is about middle school fights, I didn't know this was possible, but somehow both motherfuckers end up losing the fight. I remember one lunch at my middle school, a dude whipped out some boxing gloves for no reason at all, and all of a sudden we're running a whole fight club. Kids would be betting their lunch money on who's gonna win and shit, but we never laid down any ground rules. So one day, JJ hit Timmy with a spinning back fist and put his ass to sleep. And I'm hyped, cause I just doubled my lunch money. But Mr. Principal didn't seem too hyped to see one of his students knocked out on the ground. So of course JJ gets in trouble because he's just that one kid who's always in trouble but never got expelled. Like, I could have swore dude was on his third strike 5 strikes ago. But man, middle school had some characters, bro. There was that one guy that would walk through the halls blasting music on his speaker. The kid who used to sit in his chair like this. The dude who hit puberty and midlife at the same time.
Mr. Donaldson, can I get some help on the subtraction?
Help on the subtraction? You look more like you need help on your taxes.
No, subtraction's just hard for me.
During recess, do you go check on the wife and kids?
No, I just play on the monkey bars.
Tell me, how do you manage to be in middle school and work a 9-to-5 job at the same time? The girl who thinks she's a horse, the emo kid, catch him in the back of the class with his hoodie tied up watching sad Bart Simpson edits, the kid who had to touch the top of the door frame before entering a room, girls who have to bring their Starbucks cup everywhere, the dude who's constantly emoting, and in order to find the answer, we can make a grid.
Did someone say gritty?
Right foot creep, ooh, walking with the heat. Of course, there's the kid who Naruto runs through the hallway, and then there's that weird ass kid who accidentally called his social studies teacher mom one time.
It was probably an accident, though. Fuck! And I have no idea why, but there's something about teaching middle school that had all these teachers going through a midlife crisis. I remember one day our science teacher was teaching us about rainbows. Does anyone know what a rainbow is? Yes, Jaden. Refraction of light through water droplets. Oh, wow. That's right. How did you know that?
Reddit.
Oh, okay. Where did you read it?
Reddit.
Yeah, but where did you read it? Reddit. Jaden, I can't do this right now. Just tell me where you found this information.
Reddit?
God damn it, Jackson. You're the reason my children get their shit whooped every night.
Now, I don't know what she had going on in her life, but the way she broke down talking about beating her children to a group of 12-year-olds really gave me the impression that she shouldn't be teaching middle schoolers, bro.
And I don't know who was in charge of hiring these teachers, but I also had a deaf teacher. Which, you know, is cool and all, but it did make it a little bit harder considering the fact that, she was the fucking music teacher, not to mention the fact that she was also half blind. And I think the idea there was that she could somehow feel the vibrations of the guitar or something, which didn't seem to work too well considering the fact that I got a fucking A in music and I can't play the guitar for shit, but I guess I smelled good or something, I don't know. And I don't know about y'all's experiences, but I feel like kids were just mad touchy in middle school. Like, you'd be sitting in math class, minding your own business, then for no reason at all, a motherfucker would tase you in the side of the ribs. And I remember when kids first learned about these pressure points, it was all fun and games. Someone would just poke you in the ribs, like, pressure point, that tickles. Then there would be a new pressure point dropping every week. It got to the point where these 12-year-olds were hitting pressure point combinations and paralyzing your legs and shit. Hey, bro, let me try this new pressure point on you.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
Ah, it tickles. And it was the same shit with this game. Like, you really couldn't trust anybody, bro. Yo, what's that on my legs?
Shit.
Got him.
Oh, shit, there's a bug on you.
God damn it.
Dumbass.
Oh, fuck, I just broke my leg.
Bro, I'm not stupid. You didn't just break your leg.
No, I'm serious, bro. I promise, on everything, on my entire life, I just broke my leg. Look.
Bro,
I remember I got punched so many times, my arm was on life support, it was about to fall off, like, And thinking back to middle school, there's just so many things that make me cringe, bro, but by far the cringiest of them all is the relationships, man. And believe it or not, I had my fair share of middle school relationships. I remember one day I was sitting in class and this girl came up to me and said, "Chains, I have a crush on you." And that's really all it took to have a young Chains in love. Head over heels. We went to the movies together. We went to my house and watched movies. We went to her house and, we also watched movies. Now that I think about it, all we really did was watch movies. We didn't really talk that much. I mean, I didn't really have a way with my words at the age of 12.
So, do you like movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like movies too. That's why we're here, at the movie theater. I also like popcorn, with the butter. It tastes, like, I like how it tastes.
And one day we went to the mall and I took a good look at my girlfriend of 2 weeks and thought, man, I don't even know this girl. Like, who are you? I remember we were inside Zoomies at the time and I said,
"Hey, Jessica, you're a great person and all, but I don't really think we're compatible like that. Maybe we should just break up."
Which was probably the most words I've strung together during the entirety of our relationship. And she says with the straightest face,
"Oh, okay."
And then we proceeded to walk out of the mall and bus home together without saying a word. And I remember lying in my bed that night and thinking to myself,
"Damn, I think I'm supposed to be sad right now."
So I threw on my hoodie, tied it up, and watched some sad Bart Simpson edits.
Everyone has encountered countless NPCs during their lives. Like, you know, the people that just spawned in. They didn't have any character development or anything. And to be honest, when you leave their vicinity, they probably just despawn. If you still have no clue what an NPC is, it's a non-playable character. They're like the type of people you could sock in the face and they'd say some NPC-ass line like, "Hey!" And I know at least some NPCs have to exist. Cause let's be real, there is no way all 7 billion people on this planet have whole lives from start to finish. That just doesn't add up. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever noticed this, but NPCs all have a spot they go to just do NPC things, bro. For example, if you go to Walmart, that's their natural habitat. You are bound to see at least 15 NPCs at Walmart. and usually the NPCs are trying to avoid eye contact. But if you've ever tried interacting with them, you'll know they always have the most predictable and neutral responses possible. Like, whoever programmed them should have spiced it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? They could have made them tell jokes or something, I don't know. But anyways, I used to work at a summer camp where you teach little kids to ride bikes. And through this experience, I realized that pretty much all young kids are NPCs. And I guess it's just because they haven't been alive long enough to actually go through the character development. But working at this summer camp made me realize there's no way these kids have a thought process. Hey buddy, what's wrong?
I dropped my rock.
Here you go. But I guess little kids still aren't even at the stage of having full consciousness. And honestly, they kind of have that caveman mindset.
Eat something.
But I mean, you can't really blame them because they've only been alive for a few years. But still, as a non-NPC, I'd like to believe I was never participating in these NPC activities as a kid. I refuse to believe I was out here spending my time doing this. But yeah, man, I really just want to know if there's any NPCs watching this right now. If there is,
just fess up, bro.
Because I don't even know if NPCs be on YouTube, or if they just, like, despawn before they can do that. But regardless, if you're an NPC or not, thank you for watching this video.
Subscribe.
High school. The only place you'll find nerds and jocks chilling in the same room. Where there's fight clubs and book clubs in the same building. Where you can find the plug selling something and the school thought giving dome all in the same bathroom. And surely one of the few places you can pursue your educational prowess and take it off that Benjamin in the same institution. High school, man. Love it or hate it, it's quite the experience. And although every single person will have a different experience at high school, there are some things you are guaranteed to encounter. Like the PE sweat, the nerd, that one strict ass teacher, the teacher's pet, the Redditor, the predator, the chill teacher, the plug, the stoner, that one motherfucker who walks like this, the class clown, the band kid, the kid who just never shows up. The hot Cheeto girl. That one sexy ass kid who, he got all the girls and you know what I'm saying? He was like super cool. The bathroom fiend. The, oh my god, I almost failed that test. I did so bad. Oh shit, same. I got a 51%. What about you? Oh my god, I only got a 98.5. The fighter. The anime kid. And the NPCs. Every single one of these individuals make up the magical place we call high school. You come into high school merely a young, innocent, and clueless child. But you leave even more clueless than before, bro. Like when we learned about pi in math class, my dumbass thought I was in culinary arts for 2 goddamn weeks. And that is pi. Chains, are you listening? Yeah, yeah, we're learning about pi. Then recite pi. Flour, egg, some fucking blueberry. Like, coming into high school as a freshman, I was thinking, I can use my high school experiences and knowledge to figure out what I'ma do in life. Then shit, all of a sudden I'm graduated and my brain is filled to max capacity on bullshit. So now that you're graduated, what are you gonna do with your life?
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
But one of the most majestic parts of high school is the bathrooms, bro. Like, it's a proven statistic that only 1 in 30 kids actually go to the bathroom to take a piss. And Lord knows what the other 29 are doing, bro. I mean, it could literally be anything from a secret fight club to a drug ring to a fucking Bible study. Like, nothing is out of the picture when it comes to high school bathrooms, bro. But the bathrooms are not the only place where some fuck shit goes down. Cause you know high school students love to see fights, so when there's the slightest hint of beef, there's a motherfucker instigating that shit. Oh shit, my bad, bro. Nah, it's all good, don't worry. Yo, personally, I wouldn't take that shit, bro. What? Nah, it's fine.
Like, he practically just called you a bitch.
Wait, really?
No, it was an accident.
Wait, what's that?
Oh shit, he just said he's smoking on your grandma's pack right now. Hey, don't be talking about grams like that. Ah, shit.
But tell me why, when some entertaining shit happens, I just happen to miss school that day. Like, I'll go every day of the month, but I get sick for one day? Damn, I'm glad as fuck I'm not at school right now. Yo.
Holy shit, Chains, where are you?
I'm in my bed right now, why?
Ooh. Jeremy and Tom are running the ones right now.
Fuck, the one day I didn't go. Wait, what's that in the background? Oh shit, yeah, they got Lil Uzi performing at school today.
What?
Uzi's at our school?
Yeah, check it out.
Yo! Oh, and they brought in Gordon Ramsay cooking up free lunch today as well.
Oh, and I almost forgot. Elon's pulling up and giving everyone Teslas.
No.
I'll see you later, man.
But listen, high school is nothing like these movies painted out to be. Like, all these movies portray the same shit, where Victoria and her goon squad make fun of Ruby, and where Chad and the football team shove Arthur in a locker. Like, I've only seen a motherfucker get shoved into a locker once in my life, and to be honest, I couldn't even see much of it. I mean, it was pretty fucking dark in that locker, bro. But for real, in high school, you don't have to worry about some big body taking your lunch money, or some football kid slapping the books out of your hand. The worst thing you'll encounter on your average day at school is your local Redditor. I don't know how they do it, but somehow every joke they make is so unfunny that it just ruins my day, bro. Do you smell that? Yeah, Jeremy. That's what happens when you don't shower in 2 months. No, it smells like sussy baka. Like Among Us. But not to confuse Redditors with Discord mods. I mean, they're pretty much the same thing, but Discord mods shower even less. To be honest, there is truly only one thing mustier than a Discord mod, and that's the cafeteria food, bro. I mean, this food is completely and utterly ass. Like, somehow these motherfuckers manage to get the food cold and the drinks warm. Like, how the fuck does that shit happen? And my high school would serve some daily specials, and to be honest, that shit was unidentifiable. Like, you'd see this pile of mysterious substance, and I'd ask the person who made it what it is, like, what's the special today? You're holding it right now, dumbass. No, but like, what is it? Oh, I don't fucking know. And my school refused to pay people to make good food, so they had students making all the food. So you'd be eating a burger and look up at the person making them, and they'd just be casually scratching their ass. And even with all this free labor, tell me how these motherfuckers have the audacity to be charging $6 for 3 chicken strips, bro. That's $2 for one small, soggy piece of some shit that's probably not even chicken. I mean, that shit is a robbery. And speaking of robbery, the high school change rooms are shockingly similar to Detroit. And we all know, you can't have shit in Detroit. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone, bro. Your iPhone, gone. $5, finessed. 2-week-old rotten sandwich. Someone's taking that shit. And to be honest, even if you lock that shit up, it's still at high risk. But like, let me paint the picture a little bit. This is PJ. PJ locks all his beloved belongings in his good old PE locker before heading to play some soccer. After scoring a hat trick, PJ comes back to the change room to reacquire his belongings, only to find out someone took PJ's whole goddamn locker. PJ was devastated. Until he remembers, he can check the school's security cameras.
Yeah, take a look.
Yeah, take that shit. Yeah, we'll.
PJ never got his shit back. Now, I don't know about your guys' high schools, but mine was equipped with security cameras everywhere, covering every square inch of the school. But these cameras had the resolution of a fucking toaster. Like, you could have a motherfucker commit a heinous crime. He could proceed to put his face in the camera, state his government name, address, and date of birth, and you would still have no clue who did it, bro. And of course, the teachers. Teachers have the ability to make or break your high school experience. So real quick, let me go over some of the teachers you will encounter in high school. The angry teacher. The chill teacher. The lazy ass teacher. The funny ass teacher. The teacher who doesn't know how to teach shit. Miss Cakenson. The teacher who wants to be the chill teacher, but shit just doesn't work. That teacher that plays videos all class. The gym teacher with several allegations. The weird science teacher. And the teacher who subscribed to Chains For Real. Wow, what a G. And that's high school in a nutshell.
Now, I really don't have many fears, but there are 4 things that I would say I'm truly scared of, which are sleep paralysis, being flipped over while I'm in a porta potty, this thing, and public speaking. And honestly, I can't even really explain why I'm scared of public speaking. I mean, sleep paralysis, you'll have demons chilling in your room while you can't move. The whole porta potty thing, that's just some traumatic shit. And this thing is fucking terrifying. But there's just something about talking in front of more than 5 people that has me shitting bricks. Like, my brain will start showing me the absolute worst case scenarios possible. Hi guys, my name is Chain.
Get off the stage, loser.
No one likes you. hi guys, my name is... So I volunteer at daycares because I really like young kids. I love young kids. I mean, not love, they're only 4 years old. No, like, I'm not attracted to-
Sir, hands behind your back.
That's why I'm scared of public speaking. And even worse than normal public speaking was school speeches. And if you saw my going to school high video, you would know I have a pretty bad record when it comes to speeches.
Sorry, Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Yeah, Chains, don't worry about it. You can sit down. You could just go tomorrow. It's alright.
In fact, after I failed miserably while trying to present my speech well zooted, some motherfuckers was flaming me for it. So you know me, I had to get my get back. So when speeches came around next year, I put my heart and soul into that shit. And it wasn't just a speech, it was a spoken word, so it all had to rhyme. I mean, I was whipping up some heat, I was writing bar after bar like Kendrick. Shit, I had to have a fire extinguisher on standby while I was writing that shit. And I was never the dude to actually study. Like, I would start learning while I was taking the tests. If Y equals MX plus B, then who invented the Eiffel Tower? Uh-oh, shit, I guess Y equals MX plus B. I mean, even though I did bad on all my tests, maybe I can just get a job drawing stick men or some shit. Anyway, so I never studied, I never did homework. But when it came to this spoken word, I had something to prove. I mean, it felt like motherfuckers was preying on my downfall. So I actually spent my own free time at home practicing and perfecting this spoken word. So by the time I had to present, I was prepared as fuck. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was still shitting bricks. But when I got up there,
Chains, get up here, and don't stutter like last time, alright, buddy?
He's gonna stutter for sure.
Don't get on here rapping, I'm stacking, making it happen, okay? I've been perfecting this speech while Yajits was lacking. You don't want beef with me, I put you on a tee, I call that shit fashion.
Okay.
I'll put you in a box like some cereal. You'll get crunched. I'm the captain.
Captain Crunch.
Now let me stir it up like some mac and cheese. I want 100% like Curry from the 3. I'm talking all A's, no B's. Bitch, I'm blessed like a sneeze blue. Honey's like the seas. I'm too icy, I might freeze because I'm him. I'm not talking slash he.
God damn.
Spitting right now. I went bonkers, bro. In fact, I went so bonkers, the teacher volunteered me to go present my speech to the entire school. Now, usually I would be way too scared to public speak in front of that many people. But right now, I'm all hyped up on how bananas my speech went. Plus, I spent all that time perfecting it. I might as well share the heat with the rest of the school. Alright, next up is Chains with a spoken word on... Don't get on here rapping. Don't get on here stacking. I mean rapping. Stacking. I'm happing. You don't want beef with me because, quite frankly, I will put you on a t-shirt. I mean, you could call that fashion. Thank you guys for having me. I fucking fumbled. I folded under the pressure, bro. With the entire school watching my fear of public speaking absolutely crush me. And that is the reason why I have a fear of public speaking.
Hello, class. I'm Mr. Subinson. I'll be your sub for today. For rules, I don't want to see any horseplay, no phones, and no WWE wrestling moves off the top of the desk, all right?
Walking into class and then seeing a substitute teacher is like the same feeling as squaring up to fight a dude, and then finding out that dude's blind, bro. Like, you pretty much just gotta show up. And you win. Like, I honestly feel bad for these substitutes, bro, because every day they have no clue what they're showing up to. Like, one day they're walking into a class full of angels, and the next day they're fighting for their life in a class of straight demons, bro. I mean, being a substitute teacher is all about confidence. Like, the moment the sub walks into the class, they're being analyzed. Like, the way they walk, how they dress, and especially how they talk. Yo, if the first thing they say sounds like,
hey, I guess.
It's raps. It's raps, bro. If you start the class sounding like an intro to an 8-year-old's Minecraft Let's Play, paper's gonna be thrown, pencils are gonna be thrown, fucking dudes are gonna be thrown, like, it's gonna be straight anarchy, bro. But when the sub walks in the room with a little pep in his step, a little drip in his fit, and most importantly, he starts the class sounding like he's done this shit before.
Hey guys, I'm Mr. Pepinson, and today we mean business.
All of a sudden, people are listening. Everyone except for one man. The class clown. He's gonna see that confidence as a challenge, and bro's gonna start testing the waters to see if this sub is really about it.
And that is how Y equals MC squared. Any questions? Yeah, blue hat.
Yeah, Mr. Pevinson, why are you built like that?
Oh, you mean built like the Rock? Yeah, these are called muscles. You'll learn about them when you hit puberty.
But bro, I'm in grade 11. I've already hit puberty.
Yeah, nah. That's not what your peach fuzz mustache is telling me, buddy.
Okay, well, your hairline is telling me it's going on a vacation, bruh.
Alright, let's see your shit then.
Yeah, like, it's not bad. Like, some substitutes are so good, you just wish they were your real teacher. Like, I remember one time in grade 10, I had this math class with one of those teachers who used to yap the whole time and then assign a bunch of homework with 5 minutes left in class. And then one day, a goat walked into our class. A goat who went by the name of Mr. G, or more formally, G-Dog. Now, G-Dog was packing a mean 68 years in his lifespan. However, he had the utmost pep in his step, paired with the drippiest of fits. And he was the type of dude who would lay down some respectable rules, and if anyone broke them, he wouldn't get mad. He would just simply flame the living shit out of you in front of everybody.
And that's how you calculate the surface area of... no text while I'm talking, please.
I'm just texting my mom.
Oh wow, that's crazy. How's she doing?
Psh, wouldn't you like to know?
Oh yeah, I mean, I would actually, cause she's probably pretty tired after last night. I mean, I did lay down some mean dick.
But there are definitely some questionable substitutes out there. I remember when I was in grade 6, my entire middle school was just weird, bro. My recess was called Nut Break, my music teacher was deaf, and our principal was damn near bipolar.
Alright, who told the blind kid he could say the N-word?
Okay, alright, it was me, but like, I didn't think he would actually say it.
Oh no, that's actually a pretty good one. I mean, I gotta give it to you, kid.
Wait, so you're not mad?
No, I'm fucking furious, okay? Get in my office right now.
Okay, wait, I thought you were just laughing. What's going on right now?
Yo, I'm just messing with you, kid, you're good to go.
Thank you.
Good to go out of the school because you're expelled. That is absolutely unacceptable.
are you joking or?
Does it sound like I'm joking?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah, bro, my middle school was weird as hell, so I can't say I was surprised when a substitute teacher walks into my class talking about,
hello class, I'm Mrs. Hutchinson, and, I identify as a mermaid.
And I'm only 12 years old, so I'm like, dog. What the actual fuck does identify mean? But bless Miss Hutchinson's heart, man, cause Lord knows middle schoolers weren't gonna take that shit seriously.
Oh, she's funny, mermaid.
No, class. I'm serious.
Oh, so that's why you smell like the ocean.
Exactly. Wait, what?
And I remember one time this sub walked into our class and I could have swore they just found this motherfucker on the side of the street, bro. He walked in sagging like crazy, and if he even went to school, this motherfucker most definitely cheated his way through, bro. Yo, hey class.
So, what are we doing today?
I mean, shit. You're the teacher.
Oh yeah, right. So what'd you guys learn about yesterday?
We were learning about agriculture.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right too, because, you know, the culture we live in right now is very angry, and the agriculture just needs to take a chill pill. You know what I'm saying? Any questions about that?
What's a chill pill?
Oh, yup, I'm glad you asked. Okay, see, I actually know a guy who can hook you up with some. Just meet me in the parking lot at lunch.
Mr. Sagginson, are you trying to sell us drugs right now?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's for chemistry with neuroscience, or I mean, like for microbiology or something like that.
And these substitute teachers seem to butcher every single name on the attendance. I mean, shit's gotta be on purpose at this point. Like,
hello class. I'm just gonna do some attendance really quick. Correct me if I get your name wrong, okay? Hordan Hansa. Is Hordan Hansa here?
Okay.
I mean, my name's Jordan Johnson.
Well, you're absent now, so you gotta speak up sooner next time.
Wait, what the fuck?
Maya? Is Maya present? It's Mia.
Wow, quite the name you got there. It's spelled kind of weird, no?
No, it's not. It's literally three letters.
Ariana? Is Ariana here?
Sorry, it's Ariana.
Okay, and? Like, what's your point? That's
just how it's pronounced.
Juwan? Is there Juwan in the room?
It's Juan.
No, Juan!
And some subs be walking into your class with the most bullshit rules ever, like,
Hey, Mr. Subinson, can I go to the washroom?
Does your teacher usually let you go to the washroom?
I mean, yeah, I think you legally have to.
I don't believe it. Sit your ass down and get to work.
Wait, Mr. Subinson, respectfully, I'm about to shit my pants here.
Wait, does your teacher usually let you do that?
What, shit my pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll allow it.
Hey, what the fuck is this guy?
And I feel like there's no greater sense of community among a class than when a substitute teacher comes in. The entire class just comes together to gaslight the fuck out of this poor substitute.
I remember one time in grade 10, me and my homie had a sub come in who was giving us this multiple choice test. And my homie was the type of dude who'd be getting 0% on everything. And the way his grades were looking, he just couldn't afford to fail another test. So what he did, I just need to preface, I do not condone. But from the moment the teacher walked in, he acted like he needed a little extra help. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest, he put on a spectacular performance. I mean, someone either needs to get this man an Oscar or a diagnosis, bro. And I just acted normal, but I guess by proxy, I got a little extra help. And I don't know what that says about me,
but I do know what it means. It means the substitute teacher walked out of that class happy she was able to help two students in need. And it also means me and my homie both walked out of that class with 100% on our tests.
So, 50,000 word essay, 3 worksheets, pages 5, 6, 9, 273, 655 in your workbook, and you'll need to make a TED Talk you'll present in front of the whole school. What do you want, Chains?
Well, how much time do we have?
Everything needs to be handed in at 12 p.m. on Thursday, or you'll get a 0.
Wait, Mr. Cumminson, that's in 2 minutes.
Actually, it's 1 minute now. Any other questions?
Can I go to the bathroom?
Fuck no. Sit down, Jeremy.
Oh, okay. Man, imagine being a high school teacher, bro. Like, as soon as you hit the ripe age of 5 years old, they throw your ass into school, and you just don't make it out until you're, like, fucking 65. And when I was younger, I always used to wonder, like, why is Mr. Cumminson so angry all the time? But as I got older, I realized I would be pretty fucking pissed if I was in the exact same spot I was 40 goddamn years ago. Which brings me to the first type of high school teacher, Mr. Angerson. This is the type of motherfucker whose wife divorced him 7 years ago and he takes his heartbreak out on the students. What was that?
Oh, nothing. I just had to sneeze.
Oh, so you think it's okay to just sneeze in my classroom now? Now, huh?
Well, no, I just needed to sneeze.
What if I just broke into your house and started sneezing on shit, huh?
Well, no, that's just...
Matter of fact, get your ass up here.
Yo, this isn't the 1950s, you can't just...
Linda, come back, please.
Now, I don't know how Mr. Angerson continues to keep his job, but it feels like this dude's mission is to ruin the day of every student that walks into his class. Like, he'll be putting in extra effort into his test to make them as confusing as possible. The type of motherfucker to make a multiple choice test with the first four letters all as A. Bro will have me changing the correct answers into the A, B, C, D strategy. Next up, we got Mrs. Talkinson. Some teachers really just don't give a fuck about teaching, bro. I mean, Miss Talkinson over here, she really just wants someone to talk to for real. And that's when Franklin D. Roosevelt became president. You know, actually, in high school, I had a friend named Franklin. He was a really nice guy. We used to go to the movies together and stuff, and then he went to jail for multiple hate crimes. Like, by the end of the class, you'll know her home life, her family, how she takes her anger out on her children. So me and my classmates would recognize the fact that if we could just keep Miss Talkinson talking, we wouldn't have to do shit all class. So in 1938, Germany invaded Austria. Yes, Chains. Miss Talkinson, have you ever been to Germany? Oh my goodness, you would not believe what we did in Germany. And for my personal favorite teacher, we got Miss Cakinson. You know, the teacher that is caked up for absolutely no reason. Like, she's got that dump truck for what? I mean, I'll be failing all my classes, rocking with a 1.5 GPA. But I walk into her class... Fuck, all of a sudden I turn into a... Miss Cakinson, actually, you forgot the homework for today. Oh my god.
Shut up.
Oh, why, thank you, Chains. I almost forgot.
You're welcome, Miss Cakinson.
All my homework is done, all my tests are aced, and at any given chance... Oh, Sue, my computer isn't working. Does anyone know...
What do you need, Miss Cakinson?
And I'm there. Miss Cakinson, if you're watching this, just give me a chance, please.
And next, you know we got Mr. Questionable. Insane. Now I know what you're thinking. Bro's name is a little bit of a mouthful, and that's because he may or may not have a mouthful of little boys. Okay, listen, I'm not here to point fingers at anyone. But if I was to point fingers at someone, it would be fucking him. Like, I'm really not trying to accuse anyone of anything, but there does come a point when some things this man does gets a little questionable. Maya, let me help you.
So you put your hand like this, and you...
OMG, Chains, you will not believe who just followed me on Instagram. Oh shit, was it at Chains for real? No, it was Mr. Questionable Ensign. Damn, brother, this test was hard as fuck.
Yeah, bro, literally everyone failed that shit. Facts, bro, what did you get?
Yo, I got 22%.
What about you?
Oh, I got 103%.
First dates have the potential to be magical, fantastical, romantical, a night you will never forget. But they also got the potential to be straight booty. I mean, first dates are just a gamble, bro, especially if it's from a dating app. Like, you could show up to your first date with a 5'4 blonde Tinder girl and end up finding out she's 5'9. And she's brunette. And she's a dude. I mean, first dates from dating apps is kind of like buying one of those SpongeBob popsicles from an ice cream truck. Like, you know it's not gonna look the same as the advertisement, but the question is, how fucked up can it really be? And let me just say, extremely fucked up. I'm talking massive buck teeth, eyes crossed with a bite taken out of it, and I'm not talking about the popsicles. And these are the exact reasons my very first date was not from Tinder. Also because I was in grade 7. And that would be illegal. And when I was in grade 7, I was 12, as most grade 7s were. And for whatever reason, me and my homies loved going to the mall after school. Which was weird, cause... We had no money. So after another successful day of walking around and being too broke to buy anything, we walked back to the bus terminal by the mall, and as we walked up to our bus stop, we see these two girls waiting there. And the closer we got, the more familiar these girls started looking until we realized one of them was in our class. And so we walk up to them like, yo, are you Kate? Oh shit, Billy Bob and Chains, what's up? Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm good. This is Jessica. She's new to our school.
Hi.
What's up?
Hello, Jessica.
What brings you guys to the mall?
Oh, nothing much. Just walking around and not buying anything because we don't have any money.
Yo, us too!
And so we all get on the bus and we're just talking and shit for a good 20 minutes until my stop comes up. So I pull the thingy, but before I get off the bus, I ask Jessica,
yo, Jessica, do you Snapchat by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Let me add you. What's your Snap name?
And I remember I had some shitty ass username, like, oh shit, it's
MLG, Pro No Scoper, Illuminati confirmed.
Yo, kid, get the fuck off the bus.
Sorry, one second, please. Where was I? MLG, Pro No Scoper, Illuminati confirmed. And when I got home, I went on Snapchat, accepted a request, and we started talking. And we snapped all night to the point I was smiling, kicking my feet in the air and shit.
Yo, I'm coming in.
No, wait, don't. I'm beating my meat. Wait, shit.
Yo, what boy has you smiling like that?
Boy? It's a girl. Man, shut the fuck up. Oh, shit, you're serious.
Wait, so the whole time you were watching Powerpuff Girls?
It just had a good plot.
Okay, bro. Okay, so this is what you gotta know.
And my brother started running me through the do's and don'ts of being in a talking stage.
All right, listen. Don't text her too much, but don't text her too little. Don't talk to too many other girls.
Yep, nope. That won't be a problem right there.
Yep, I know, buddy. And you also gotta talk to her at school.
So the next day at lunch, Bob, Billy, and I walk over to Jessica and her two friends, and we start talking again, and we make plans to go to the mall together. And boom, all of a sudden, we started forming a little friend group. It was me, Bob, and Billy with Jessica, Kate, and Nikki. And we started hanging out damn near every day, hitting the mall, buying nothing, going to Nikki's house, doing nothing. But we had fun, and so inevitably, Bob and Kate start having a thing, Billy and Nikki start having a thing, and that just left me and Jessica. And so one late night, we're on Snapchat with my feet kicking in the air faster than ever, and Jessica hits me with a, "So, I've been thinking, well, I like you.
I like you back.
So..."
And I typed up, "Do you want to be my girlfriend?"
I fucking threw my phone across the room, nervous as hell. I get the notification, and when I go to check what she said, she was like, "Yes, I do." And call me Josh Giddy, the way I just bagged this 12-year-old. But the next day at school, when me, Billy, and Bob walk up to our girlfriends, I started getting all nervous and shit. There was something about the title of being a boyfriend that just had me shitting bricks, bro. It was like,
"Hey, Chains, how are you?"
"Oh, you know, I'm good."
How are you?
"Oh, I'm good." But now that all three of the boys had acquired girlfriends, Billy was like, "Hey, why don't we all see a movie this weekend? Like it'll be a triple date."
"Yeah, that's a great idea."
Yeah, let's do it. It's a date. Triple date. Yeah. Fuck, yeah. And by the time the weekend rolled around, I was still terrified of the fact that I was going on a date, and to be honest, I was also scared of the movie, bro. We came to watch It, which as a 12-year-old sounded like straight nightmare fuel, bro. But nonetheless, me, Bob, and Billy hop on the bus and arrive at the movie theater, fashionably late. And so when we walked through the doors, there was our three little girlfriends excited for our first dates. So we all walk up, hug, and then go to get our tickets. And I dropped my entire life savings on her ticket, and then go into debt for mine, but nonetheless, we head to the theater.
"Wait, should we get popcorn?"
"Oh yeah, of course." "Hey man, how much is a large popcorn?"
"Large popcorn, that'll be $10.
Damn! What happened? Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I just realized they ran out of popcorn."
Are you fucking stupid?"
"Yeah, no, don't worry. Thank you, man. Is it no problem? Have a good day."
And we got to our seats and sat down, and the movie began. And as the movie progressed, I realized it wasn't even too scary, but about 20 minutes deep, I get a tap on my shoulder from Bob. And he gestures to me the fact that him and Kate are holding hands. And I look over to Billy and Nikki, and they're all cuddled up and shit. Which meant I had to make a move, bro, which inconveniently made my hands start sweating bullets. So now I was in a position where I couldn't just grab her hand while my shit was sweaty as hell, cause then she'd think I'm weird. But then I also couldn't just sit there and do nothing the whole time, cause then she'd also think I'm weird. So I just started doing the only thing I could think of, which was blowing on my hand like some hot soup, and believe it or not, made me look fucking weird. But at least my hand was dry, so I go and hold her hand, but when I do, I make a grave mistake. A tactical error, bro. When I held her hand, my hand was on top and hers was underneath against the armrest, and my dumbass was scared I was gonna crush her arm or some shit. And I don't know where I got the idea that I even could crush her arm from, bro, cause those 12-year-old stickman arms couldn't crush a fucking pretzel if they tried. But for whatever reason, I decided my best option would be to hover my arm slightly above hers so my 1-pound arm couldn't come down and fucking demolish her forearm. And you know, this was cool for about 60 seconds until I started feeling the burn, which started hurting so bad that I forgot I was even watching a movie. I was just 100% focused on thugging this shit out. And about an hour into the movie, I was just fucking shaking relentlessly. I mean, at this point, it wasn't even about not having this girl think I was weird, cause Lord knows it was too late for that shit. But now it was about proving to myself that I could finish the movie this way, and sure enough, I did. But at what cost?
Wow, you were so scared you were shaking, huh?
No, I wasn't scared at all, actually.
Oh my god, are you sweating?
No.
So, you know, looking back, it wasn't my best performance, you know what I'm saying? But with that being said, after that triple date, Billy's girlfriend Nikki ended up breaking up with him and gave up on dating dudes as a whole. So, I mean, it could always be worse, bro.
Get your money, man, like a I'm hopeful. Yes, I am hopeful. But today, take this music and use it. Let it take you away and be hopeful, hopeful. And he'll make a way. I know it ain't easy, but that's okay, cause we hope. Oh, wish that you could show some love. And instead of hating so much when you see some other people coming now, I wish I could tease the woman's scream while your music can have them chipping off the joy I bring. I wish that we can hold hands. Listen instead of dissing lessons from a grown man. And I wish the families that lack, but got love, get some stocks, brand new shock and a lot, but some gloves and I.
There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand. But if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer. Like, what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep, because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent-sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, "Yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. and me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, "Okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over." And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed, because that's comedy gold right there. But it also made me realize, maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens. Then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music. And then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open. And we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here, and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now, or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting, because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting, and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents, and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name. Period.
And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
you are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops.
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago.
Okay, sir, did they break in?
No, No. My daughter gave them the key.
Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub!
But like I said, I wasn't very smart, and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead.
So everyone shows up to the house, and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first.
Hey, Mom, I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii, and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub!
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped, and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
If you saw this video, you would know my very first time drinking, I got both high and drunk at the same time. But my first time being drunk takes place back when I was like 14 or 15. And this story takes place at my grandma's crib. No, listen, I know that sounds bad, but like,
I mean, it's pretty bad. So the story starts with me and my brother pulling up to the family function. And right off the bat, we notice the chill cousins are nowhere to be seen. So instantly, we can tell it's gonna be a long night of engaging in conversations about school, sports, my lack of ability to pull bitches. And about 5 minutes after arriving, you know, I'm just doing some good old small talk.
Oh, hey, bud. How's school going?
Oh, you know, it's going.
And, how's sports going?
Yeah, the sports are good.
Nice.
So, the weather lately, huh? And then after about 20 minutes, me and my brother are just getting our shit flamed by every member of the family.
No wonder you can't get a girlfriend. You're ugly as shit.
Damn, that was just mean.
And don't get me started on you. You had a 3-year head start and still can't get any bitches.
And honestly, we just can't say anything back because last time I tried.
Man, still no girlfriend. That's brutal.
Not as brutal as your third divorce, am I right? Okay, guys. So instead of flaming the living shit out of this grown man in front of his mom, I decide to be the bigger man. I just laughed that shit off. And then got the fuck out of there before they brought up my school grades. So as my brother and I sit down in a different room, I'm just in agony thinking about how everything this dude flamed me for was actually true. But my brother, on the other hand, he was whipping up some devious plan. Yo, Chains, follow me.
Oh, okay.
So we walk down to the basement. So, what are we doing in the basement? He opens a cupboard full of alcohol. Bro just cracks the seal on some vodka and starts downing that shit. Now, usually I would know this is a bad idea, but to be honest, I just got done getting my entire existence shit on by my own family. So I'm really just trying to drink my pain away at this point. I mean, we were passing that bottle drinking like rent was due and the wife was taking the kids. So with that being said, we got a little hammered. And keep in mind, this was my first time being drunk. So as soon as I stood up, I ate shit. It was like I had to relearn the controls of life. But we had to get out of the basement or else we'd look suspicious. So our drunk asses plug walked our way up the stairs. But we were trying to act as casual as possible. So we sit back down with the rest of the family like we didn't just down a bottle of vodka. And me and my bro were just sitting there looking at each other trying not to laugh. But the next thing I knew, this dude Uncle Jerry was back on my ass.
Hey look, Dumb and Dumber are back.
And at this point, I'm using every bone in my body not to end this man's whole career.
Man, whose gene is it that made you so damn hideous?
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it, bro. And I really didn't want to do him like that, but the vodka took control. It was your hideous gene, Gerald. But at least I didn't get the same gene that has you 5'2 and balding. Like, I can't tell if you're going through puberty or a midlife crisis. And shit, I didn't stop there. And Joe, I want to hear you talking. You're built like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
What the fuck is Big Hero 6?
Mom, I love you. Karen, sit down. Your mac and cheese tastes like ass. And Bob, you're literally a registered sex offender. Grandma, I love you. Bernard, your hairline looks like it's social distancing from your eyebrows. And Irene, how are you 47 and still work at McDonald's? And you got no drip. Come on, bro. Friendly fire. Oh shit, you're right. My bad. Needless to say, I was handing out smoke to everybody. Something in that vodka turned me to a demon. And I guess since everyone was mad at me for dissing the entire family, they never knew I was drunk as hell. But in the end, I did feel really bad for roasting my entire family tree. But ever since that day, everybody stopped flaming me, so it was worth it. Halloween is the spookiest time of the year. Everywhere you look, it's vampires, killer clowns, old dudes in white vans trying to steal some children, which are all very scary things, especially killer clowns. But none of these spooky things scare me more than my worst fear.
fear.
Going to jail, dropping the soap, and getting my booty snatched up. Now that's some real spooky shit right there.
And I know some people are gonna be thinking, oh, that's just a myth, it's a stereotype. Nobody actually gets their booty snatched up for dropping some soap. But when it comes to my booty, I don't wanna fuck around, and I sure as hell don't wanna find out. But everyone knows drinking can heavily influence your judgment, and on one specific day, my judgment was affected, and I found myself fucking around. And everyone knows what the chart depicts. The more you fuck around, the more you find out. This story takes place in grade 10. It was a crisp Halloween night. The houses were decorated, the leaves had fallen, and the jackals were lanterned. And as me and Billy walked down to the homie Bob's crib, we could pretty much smell that Halloween spirit. And when we knocked on Bob's door, we were surprised the homie Bob didn't open the door. It was Bob the Builder. Dude was fully suited up from head to toe. And when me and Billy seen that, we already knew we needed some costumes. So we go to Bob's closet and come out absolutely dripping into Mario and Luigi costumes, mustache and everything. But now that we undeniably had that shit on, we still had yet to find something to do. But lucky for us, the night was still young, so we got to brainstorming. Alright, it's Halloween, bro. We gotta do something. Yeah, let's go find a party.
Bet, let me check where they're at.
Okay. Yeah, there's no parties, bro.
Fuck. I mean, we could trick or treat.
Shit, we might have to, bruh.
And just as 3 15-year-olds decided we would knock on strangers' doors asking for candy, our Halloween was looking grim. And not in a good way.
But you know what they say. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Because Bob pulls through and sets up a goddamn 3-man mission.
And just like that, Halloween goes from an L to a W night. And I thought the homies and I couldn't get more hype, that is, until Bob pulls out a bottle of Hennessy.
And you would have thought Peach took the kids the way I was abusing that bottle. And we passed it around until we were all tipsy. Then we started walking to Chloe's house for the little Halloween 3-man. And it was already 9 p.m. at this point, so we're walking through the neighborhood admiring these decorations when we see the creepiest house of them all. It was Chloe's crib. So we walked through a whole graveyard just to knock on the door. And Chloe opens it looking like a whole angel. I mean, literally, she had the halo and the wings and shit. So we go up to her room where her two friends Lucy and Mia were, and we sit on her bed. And I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward, bro. I was sitting there with my Mario fit, my little mustache, like, so, Chloe, why'd you choose to be an angel?
I don't know. I just liked it. Why'd you choose to be Mario?
Shit, you know, Mamma Mia, am I right?
Shit. Fuck.
Then Chloe whips out some tequila and all of a sudden we're playing drinking games and shit. But honestly, I was just trying to get drunk, so it'd be like, haha, drink up.
Oh no.
Alright, it's your turn.
Wait, you're supposed to get it in my cup. What the fuck?
And after purposely selling multiple games of tequila pong, I was feeling what some would call completely and utterly drunk as fuck. And next thing I know, we're playing spin the bottle. And I was up, so I spin the bottle and it spins and lands on Chloe. And in my head, I'm thinking, and just as Mario's about to get some peaches, we hear the door open downstairs and Chloe's like,
oh shit, my parents are home, hide.
So me and the homies run into her closet with a bottle of tequila and we can hear her dad come into the room.
Hey, what's going on up here?
Oh, you know, we're just watching scary movies.
Alright, I'll be downstairs watching TV. Let me know if you need anything.
Thanks, dad.
And once her dad went downstairs, we all came out of the, we exited the closet and Chloe said,
you guys gotta sneak out through the front door, just be super quiet.
And so we creep down the stairs and peek around the corner, and Chloe's parents are right there with a clear sight of the door. So we know what we have to do. We take a shot for good measure and then run to the door. And my drunk ass couldn't even figure out how to unlock this fucking door.
Hey, who is that?
It's a me, I'm Mario. Then we ran out that joint and we didn't stop running until I got a call from one of my homies named Dave. He was like, yo, what are you doing right now?
Oh, nothing really, just drunk as hell running from Chloe's angry ass dad.
Yo, that's what's up. Come link me and Joe at Stickman Elementary. And we had nothing else to do, so we pull up. And it's Dave, Dave's girlfriend, Joe, and Joe's girlfriend. And they got some couples costumes going, but I couldn't help but notice Dave and Joe were shiesty'd up.
What are you? If the Simpsons grew up in Chicago?
Nah, I'm just Homer.
Yeah, but I mean, Homer doesn't usually wear a fucking ski mask.
Oh, yeah, no. I just wore this because we graffitied the hell out of this school.
Joe was here? And Dave was too? Bro, what the fuck were you thinking?
What?
Oh, you want me to include your name too?
No, hell no.
And just as we become guilty by association, four cop cars come zooming down the street.
Oh shit, it's the cops, run!
And the cops hop out of their cars and start running at us with flashlights. So we head for the forest, but to get to the forest, we had to run across this long ass muddy field. And in the middle of this field, there was a huge pothole, and how did I know that? Cause I seen Marge absolutely eat shit right in front of me. And don't get me wrong, I was absolutely plastered, but as the cops got closer and closer, I could practically see myself getting caught and dropping the soap, and you know I wasn't gonna let that happen. And so with all that adrenaline, I Mario jumped that fucking pothole and hauled ass into the forest. And right when you get into the forest, there was this deep creek with a log going across it. But when I look back, I see the cops' flashlight getting brighter and brighter, so I say fuck it and take a run at this log. I get a good two steps and then my drunk ass slips. Boom, right into the muddy creek. But I don't have time to give a single fuck. So I run through this waist-high muddy water, and then we regroup and check who made it. I see Bob, Joe, Dave, and Dave's girl.
Yo, where the fuck is Billy?
No, where's my girlfriend, bro?
Oh, she ate shit a few yards back.
Wait, what? Is she okay? Did she get caught?
Wait, shut up. Billy's calling. Yo, where are you?
I'm hiding behind a tree right now. In the middle of the field, the cops are looking for me.
I bet we're coming.
I gotta go.
Fuck no, bro. If you go, you're gonna get caught.
Listen, bro, I have to. He's the Luigi to my Mario.
So I go back in to save Billy, and my main man Bob comes with me. So we get to the edge of the forest and see Billy absolutely shitting his pants trying to hide from these cops, but they keep getting closer and closer. So Bob turns on his flashlight and both cops look at him.
He's right there!
Get over here!
And while the cops were looking for Bob, me and Billy both run for the street, and we ran, but once we were at least 5 blocks away, we text Bob like, bro, we both made it, are you good? And Bob's like, so Bob makes it out of the forest and we all link up. And we take a moment to appreciate the fact that none of us went to jail, and more importantly, none of us got our booty snatched up. And after our moment of appreciation, we were like, yo, maybe we should have just went trick-or-treating.
Yeah, bro, some Reese's Pieces would hit right now.
I mean, it's not too late to buy some candy. So we all go to the store and cop the biggest packs of candy we could find. Then we walked back to Bob's crib and enjoyed the rest of our night while fucking up some Halloween candy.
For most of my life, I've known how to swim. But by that, I mean, if my life depended on it, I could swim from one place to another. I don't even know if swim is the right word. Like, if you saw me casually enjoying a little swim at the pool, you'd be like, does he need help? Like, is he drowning? I mean, like, I did take swimming lessons, but I quit at level alligator, bro. I never even made it to level 1. With that being said, this incident dates way back to when I was in grade 4. We were going on a field trip, and of course, it's to the pool. But I'm not stressing. I know I safely passed level penguin, so I should be chilling. My whole class and I walk into the entrance of the pool, but before anyone was allowed in the pool, they asked everyone if they knew how to swim. And I thought, we're in grade 4, there is no way somebody still doesn't know how to swim. And just as I presumed, nobody needed a life jacket. So me and the gang are swimming around, you know, jumping off the diving boards. Fun stuff for a grade 4 field trip. But after about an hour, my friends and I are just chilling in the deep end. And that's when I see a kid in my class named Ben on some floaty things coming in our direction. A little backstory about Ben. For as long as I can remember, this dude has been on my nuts. So when I saw this dude coming in my direction, I assumed he just wanted to say hi or something. But as he made his way towards me, I could tell he was struggling. So I swim over to help him out. Oh, hey, Ben. How are you? This kid jumps off the floaty thing onto me! And this man has the meanest grip on me. Pause. Well, this shit had to be some sort of attempted murder, bro, because he had me in a chokehold and his legs were wrapped around my arms. But they did not prepare me for this shit level alligator. So instantly I start sinking and I hit the bottom of the pool. Keep in mind, Ben is chilling on top of me with his head out of the water this whole time. So I jump off the bottom of the pool just enough to get my head out of the water for a few seconds. Ben, get off me. And when I look up, I see this dude, Ben, with the straightest face in the world. Like, this motherfucker has no clue I'm out here fighting for my life. And he says, in the most monotone voice, I can't swim. Aw, hell nah. I'm trying to fight him off me, but keep in mind my arms are tied up. So I gather all the strength out of my skinny ass grade 4 legs, and I jump just enough to get my head out of the water again. Lifeguard, help! Oh, you guys, stop playing around in the pool. That's it. I'm fucked. I'm dead. And out of sheer anger, I decide, fuck it. If I'm dying, you're dying with me. I duck as far as I can under the water so both me and Ben can't breathe. But I'm running out of air. I start to get lightheaded. Man, that's crazy. This is really how I die, huh? And just as I had lost hope, my main man, Bob, comes in on some Superman shit, pulls Ben off me, and swims me over to the shallow end. I cough up some water, but eventually I catch my breath. So that's the story of how I almost died. And it's also the story of why I owe my life to Bob.
There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin'. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
What now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
Well, why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like YT.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute?
cute as hell.
Okay, come over.
And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time.
I was scared of the hose, bruh.
And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two men, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window.
Shit.
So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open.
Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle.
But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window.
But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room, and then I lean just a little too far and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor.
And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window.
Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying?
But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hose. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro.
But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real.
Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Farrell. I'm Alice.
And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages.
And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off, and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, oh, we should. God. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time, so I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass.
In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit, like, what else was there to do?
But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back.
And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, because if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, because I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown-ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce, my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, because he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson.
Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are.
I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch.
And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro.
And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna hang out with a girl who has a boyfriend, turn off your snap maps, bruh.
April 20th. 420, the day when everyone puts their differences aside and they just hotbox the Earth's entire atmosphere. Man, what a time to be alive.
Now, I don't know if any of y'all have gone to one of those 420 conventions before, but god damn, these motherfuckers be getting higher than Buzz Lightyear, bro. Like, at this point, they aren't even baked. They're fucking deep fried. They just be walking around hotboxing cities at a time. And anyone in a 500 foot radius is gonna start feeling the effects of that Mary Jane. Like, I remember my first time going to one of these things, and I was still a minor with an O. However, I had done some pregame before the convention. So let me just put it like this. If I was a potato,
I would have been a baked potato. So heading into the convention, I was already a little bit paranoid because as I looked around, all I could see was a bunch of hippie dudes with beards and shit. And at the time, I was just repping that peach fuzz. I was standing out like a sore thumb. So you can only imagine how hard I was shitting my pants when my high ass saw a cop walking in my direction. I instantly started brainstorming how I was gonna outmaneuver this cop so he doesn't send my ass to jail. So boom, busted a right, dropped the shoulder, hit a left, and I ran into this crowd of people. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, whenever something remotely scary happens while I'm zooted, I'm gonna be paranoid for the rest of my high. So in my high ass brain, I'm like a wanted criminal. I got 5 stars right now. So I'm out here constantly scanning the area for 12, right, but I start to make some notable observations. I realize half these motherfuckers are wearing sunglasses and it's not even sunny. Like, how the fuck did I miss the memo this bad? But luckily for me, there's hundreds of dudes selling overpriced random ass shit. So it really didn't take long for me to find a dude selling sunglasses. And even though it was 25 bones for these shitty ass sunglasses, I still cop them so I can hide my identity. And of course, the glasses have the devil's lettuce plastered all over them, but I'm El Chapo level wanted at this point. So I'm doing anything I can to hide my identity, including dropping my life savings on these dog shit glasses. So I'm out here pushing through these groups of people, but I'm keeping it low key. And as I'm scanning to the right of me and to the left of me, my dumbass pretty much walks right up to a cop. And the moment I realized that homie was right in front of me looking at me, I started to panic, bro. I felt like at this point, my best option was just to confess. Like, if I take the plea deal, I'll definitely get a lower sentence. But as I was stressing heavy, that adrenaline starts to kick in. And I know some of y'all can relate to this, but the scientific breakdown shows that when you're zooted and you get into a high stress scenario, the adrenaline gears up and starts beefing with the THC in your brain. Now, if you're lucky, the adrenaline will beat the THC's ass and will have you thinking properly in said stressful situation, which is exactly what happened to your boy. So as I transform from a baked potato into a less baked potato, this is where the table really started to turn. I looked at this cop in the eyes and this motherfucker was more baked than me. Like, shit, at this point, I'm about to put this dude on citizen's arrest.
Officer, are you baked right now?
No, there's a... Sorry, There seems to be a lot of cannabis in the air right now, and so it's like...
This poor officer probably had to pull an 8-hour shift in the world's biggest hotbox while trying to do his job. And needless to say, after realizing the officers were fated than a hoe, I had no problem walking around with my peach fuzz mustache and a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
damn, what do I look like as a grown ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Oh, let's hear it. Yo.
Yo, Pops, well, let me bum a hit off that 50 Nick Guava Ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
No. I probably should not have taken a hit.
But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know? I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking.
Yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude?
And that answer is abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gone to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie, Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
"Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?"
"Psst, no, I would never."
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now, I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific Nut Break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind.
Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me? nah,
it's nobody. It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me?
Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, shit, go talk to her, bro.
Talk to
No. No. No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I
did I just sell that shit?
Yup. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit, here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love.
Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you wanna be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back, and remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no!
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
not
jiggle.
Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon.
Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"Alright, Tessa, in my office, right now."
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3-degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, "Psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it, and he's not gonna check you."
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry.
It's safe with me.
And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and
That just wasn't happening. And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word. We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again.
Psst, Tessa wants her vape back.
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning, you know, it was purple.
And... Oh, that vape. Oh, yeah, no, I threw that shit in the bushes. So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, "Can I use that vape for the day?" And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
Your very first time buying from the plug. It's a special moment. It marks the beginning of a bond. A bond so strong and full of trust that it can only compare to that of your barber. Now your first time copping from the plug can go many different ways, but my first time took place way back when I was 7. Okay, that's cap, but I was 13. Now, as some 13-year-olds, my homies and I were oblivious of how to get our hands on some sweet, sweet, juicy, succulent, magic broccoli. But you know what they say, if there's a will, there's a way. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. Where do I buy weed? And somehow, one of the first things that came up was some motherfucker on Reddit like, just order a pizza? The pizza delivery guy stands a 78% chance of being baked. Just ask him where to find some gas. Simple as that, man.
Oh, bet.
So we call up Little Caesars like, "Hello, can I get a medium pepperoni pizza, please?" "Yeah. Yep. I bet." And about 45 minutes later, the doorbell rings. We open the door to see some 48-year-old man who's probably going through his second divorce. Should we ask him?
"Yo, he does not know where to find that shit."
That'll be $13.69.
Here you go.
"All right, have a good day."
"But wait, do you happen to know where to find some of that? Some of that good dope?"
"Good dope? Oh, I see what you're saying. If you wanted some ranch dip, just say that."
Nah. What he's trying to say here is, do you know where to find some of that good shit?
Oh, you want some good shit, huh? You sure won't find it at Little Caesars. This pizza is ass. Go to Pizza Hut or something."
Well, shit. What the fuck just happened? Okay, the guy on Reddit said there's a 78% chance. Maybe we just got unlucky with this one. And our dumbasses decide to order from Little Caesars again.
That'll be 13.
Okay, new plan. Yo, I think I know a guy. So Bob locates a local plug Snapchat. Billy adds him, and bro adds back. So now we've located the plug, but we had no clue on how to go about hitting this man up. Hello, Frederick Gordon Williams. I have reason to believe you are a plug, and will be able to sell us some devil's lettuce, as we are minors, currently 13 years old. Just give us your home address and we will skirt and pull up soon. Sincerely, Billy. Instantly blocked, bro. Looking back, we sent the most federal message possible. We hit this man with his government name and asked him for his home address. But we had no clue that was federal. Like, huh, that's peculiar. I wonder why he blocked us. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. How to hit up the plug. Be simple and forward. Use slang. Act cool. And after conducting a little more research, we were ready to try again. So I added him on my Snapchat. Yo, 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 Big G. Let me cop some of that gas real quick, Cronum. Oh, shit, he responded. How much you need? Shit, what do I say? Search it up. Three pre-rolls. Let me get three pre-rolls, fam. Alright, meet me at Stickman Park at 2:30. So now we'd set a place and a time to cop some grass. However, what Frederick Gordon Williams didn't know was that we were a whopping 13 years old. Keep in mind, we were still in middle school, but this dude was in grade 10. Shit, I'm pretty sure he was 20 years old, but was still in grade 10, which was pretty fucking scary for us 7th graders. So we threw on some drip we believed would make us look a little bit older, and we headed off to purchase some of Satan's spinach. We arrived at the park a little bit early, and as we waited, we discussed our plan. If he asks how old we are, we're 16. If he asks our grade, we're grade 10. If he asks our pronouns, we are he/... Bro, Chili, he's not gonna interrogate us. It's a simple business transaction. Oh shit, there he is. And as Frederick approached us, I could feel my blood pressure rising. Some would say I was shitting bricks.
Yo, you got the money?
How much is it?
How much you got?
Well, I brought a $50 bill. Shit, it's usually 60, but I guess I can do it for 50. Oh, thank you so much, man. Holy shit, this is a fucking steal.
Here you go, but remember, this is OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000. It got its name for a reason.
Don't worry, we do weed all the time.
Yeah, we're super teenager and shit.
Yeah, sure, whatever, man.
Well, have a good day, sir.
And at last, 50 bones later, we had acquired some kush. Now, this wasn't our first time smoking, but our tolerance levels were low as fuck. So we pass around our first pre-roll, coughing up a fucking storm. And then we smoke up the next one, and the next one, until we're indubitably zooted.
God damn. Are y'all feeling it?
Shit, yeah, I'm feeling it. Well, what about you, Chains? Shit, I think he's feeling it. And as we made our way back to Bob's crib, my frame rates were dropping, my eyes were drying up, and my brain cells were unresponsive. In other words, I was fucking fried. We get back to Bob's crib and all I can think about is food. The munchies had hijacked my brain, but luckily for me, Bob's mom had just went shopping. Unluckily for Bob's mom, she was gonna have to go shopping again. The boys and I threw on The Amazing World of Gumball on TV and we fucking demolished every single crumb from Bob's cabinet. Cause goddamn, Frederick Gordon Williams was right. They don't call it the OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000 for no reason. Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story.
Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school. No. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all. I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, you know, looking like some distinguished young gentleman, I had realized, damn, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro. What? You mean like talk to them? Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP. It's Bob! So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah, the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. and on this Thursday at 8 p.m. Billy pops his trunk to pull out two bottles of vodka. Now if you were unaware, it was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation. Fuck. Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling. Alright, we got this. So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check to get into the dance. Fuck, that's not good. Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you? Yeah, same. We're good. And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction. Fuck, act cool. We're good. Act cool. That was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Nah.
Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three. Now, I don't know if it was one of you or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, yep. We do.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah, we just thought it looked suspicious. Really? Mm-mm.
Take them off.
Damn.
All right.
Yes, sir.
And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet. Now, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk. Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared.
Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay, he's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. Huh,
I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we knew it, we were at the dance. And just like that, I saw my opportunity and I put that liquid courage to use. And you know, I'm very articulate when it comes to words, so I ask,
"Hi, how are you?"
"Oh, hey, I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we're at the dance, and I saw you, so I walked over here. Here we are, you know what I mean? So, like, do you want to dance?"
"Yeah, sure."
It had worked. My plan had finally worked. And just as I was about to feel the female touch I'd been deprived of for all these years, I see Mr. Principal walking in my direction with his finger ready and his flashlight in hand. So I just haul ass, and I don't stop hauling ass until I'm off school grounds. So the moral of the story is, don't go to school drunk, bro. Imagine putting in hard work, time, and dedication into saving up for some new shoes. You go to Foot Locker and find the perfect pair.